you making?
Fruitcake!
Right? What you baking?
Fruitcake!
Nope. Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries,
green one too.
It's fruitcake!
And it's love!
I should have worn my fruitcake t-shirt this morning.
Yeah. Pecans or walnuts. Citrus peel. Lots of stuff. Add what you feel.
I don't like the add what you feel part.
That makes you nervous when you're talking about a recipe?
A little essence.
Molasses. Lots of dark rum.
You think when they were writing this song and they got to the lots of stuff, they
Writing this song. You're adorable.
Yeah, they high-fived and
they just turned it on. And Fred said, I'm going to come out with some stuff and I'm going to just say things that come into my head.
It's fruitcake.
All right, so
what you making?
Fruitcake.
Comes in a tin.
Fruitcake.
Everyone hates it.
Red dye number two. Green cherries.
Green ones too.
It's fruitcake.
It is the most wonderful time of the year, and part of the reason is because it is fruitcake time.
No,
and I
no.
know that not everybody loves fruitcake the way I love fruitcake, but I legitimately
Nobody loves fruitcake the way you love fruitcake.
I love fruitcake because it's delicious. So we're talking about that last week, and Ralph says, fruitcake, which Ralph has said for years. What about mince pie?
That's the traditional baked good of the holiday season.
And the rest of us are like, I don't know what mince pie is.
I don't. I still don't.
Everyone had a blank look on their face except for Allie, who had one little glimmer of recognition because apparently her father at some point, never around her, would go off secretly and enjoy mince pie with other men in like a back alley somewhere in her hometown.
My father loves mince pie.
How is it possible?
I've just never had it.
How is it possible if he loves mince pie that it's never been present at one of your holiday meals?
I feel like it has been, but there's so many other things that I enjoy. That I have that.
But when you see, when you're a kid and you see your dad enjoy that,
especially a dessert. Like, most kids don't run from a dessert.
Give me a slice of that pie, Pops.
You didn't have a dad, did you?
No. No, and
your whole story,
sad.
Your whole life's a sham.
It is.
So, as it's not enough that Ralph says, what about mince pie? Then Ralph says, I'm going to bake a mince pie. We're like, who's going to bake it? You're going to buy it where? He's like, no. I'm going to cook it with my own hands and bring it in for you guys to prove how wonderful a dessert it is.
Do you bake a lot?
It's one of my small contributions around the house.
Do you bake a lot?
Not a lot, but I like to.
Can
I
you bake
it.
Cakes as well?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just a recipe. You just do what they tell you, and then you put it in the
oven. I know, but I can follow recipes, and it never comes out right.
Well,
I find it fun. I like baking.
All right, so yesterday you got what ingredients together to make this mince pie that we're about to try?
Green cherries, too! No, the mince pie is so simple because they have this great pre-mixed filling called, now I'm going to blank on it, I think it's called Nonesuch. Anyway, there's one company that makes a really good mince pie filling, and it comes in a big jar. And then you get your dough. You can get pre-made pie dough, and you roll it out, and you put it in the tin, and you fill up the pie, and then you cover it up with the top, and then you just bake it. And Olivia, my little girl, likes to bake with me, so she made the little, if you see it, there's a little decoration on the top. Like
saw
a,
that.
A snowflake or whatever.
Oh, it's it was a gorgeous pie. Mm-hmm. I mean, a professional quality looking pie. Now, what's in it? It's mostly fruit?
Cake.
Mince pie is the mince meat itself. The mince.
It's a meat
filling. Well, it's called mince meat. I don't know why.
But is it meat?
Sometimes you can put meat in. A lot of people will do venison, other kinds of
okay,
meat.
Hold on. Did
to make
you
it
put,
a mutton pie.
Did you put meat in?
There's no meat in this. Okay. No, there's no meat in this. This is raisins and spices and apples.
All right.
And just the molasses and just all good things.
They're all things that are in fruitcake, by the way. How do you hate fruitcake but love mince pie?
Fruitcake
same ingredients.
Blows.
Same ingredients.
Look how good this
look
looks.
It does this
not
is.
The same ingredients.
It does look good. It looks moister than your average fruitcake.
Oh.
Yes, because fruitcake is a brick. And this is edible.
All right, you guys. Let's
so
try the
mince. I brought everyone mince pies. I want you to try some mince pie, and I think it'll change your life forever.
Right.
And you'll insist on having it at every holiday
It does
meal.
Look beautiful.
I'm going to wait for Ralph to take the first bite.
Okay.
All right.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Mince pie, right?
Oh, my God. Why didn't I ever have this growing up?
Mince pie, right?
You know what it reminds me of, Ralph? It reminds me of the fruit pies, the little fruit pies that you buy in the supermarket or something like that you just have as a, you know.
This is so much better than that.
It is. Right? Yeah.
It's a fresher homemade version of that kind of corporate fruit pie. Mm. It's very good, Ralph.
It's like fruitier fig squares if you've had a fig square.
Yeah. It's really
Stop
good.
Stop saying things it's not like, both of you.
It's not like either of those. It's so much better, and it's mince pie, and it's the best.
It is super good. I need milk with this, though.
Oh, my God. Do you never guys, happy.
Do you guys think that us eating is good radio?
I do not. I really don't. All right, 6:39. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning on K-Rock.
I don't care if Jaden Smith is a bad rapper. I don't care. Will Smith's kid. He's one of the best tweeters ever, I find. He really does.
So you can't ask him to do more than he's already doing to provide the entertainment he does for you.
He has an air of superiority that is just unmatched.
He really does seem like he believes he's the only one who's dialed in and really knows what's going on in the world.
Yes, and he's made many claims on Twitter about how no other rapper alive can hang with him. Mm-hmm. He puts it out there. He's like, come on, who's out there? I got a couple of albums worth to drop. I'll show you who's the best rapper. Yesterday, he dropped the album, and it is spectacular.
I like to keep you looking. We can go to Erewhon. I'm walk up to the pond.
Okay, so that's one song.
And by spectacular, I'm sorry, if you could define that word.
Genius.
For me. Oh, genius.
Genius,
okay.
Yeah.
By the way, I feel like you're mocking.
What?
But did you see, for instance, this review from Complex.com where he says, Jaden Smith shines, balancing the use of catchy personal hooks with verses that feature unique and standout rhyme structures. His lyrics continue to impress with every release while his flow improves as well, often switching up his style throughout the project. They seem to legitimately like him.
That's funny.
We about to get a strong on. Ever had soup with the wonton? I be down for a falafel or a kick it out the pond and get a waffle, hey. I be in the club without the bottles, hey. I be at the party with the models, hey. Or be cruising in the Tesla's full throttle, hey. Hey, now if I said that I was Hancock, would you go buy me some Stan socks? I'd be top notch wearing drop crotch, and yeah, I could beatbox.
Yeah, I'll let people make up their own mind on the quality of Jaden Smith's work.
I'm going to say it's not for me.
The sun is down and the moon is full now. I guess I'll grab my friends and just go to my room now. Sit in my doom now, wish I could fly away. Guess I'll go get a broom now. Don't have a clue now, but I will get blue now. We can sit in my treehouse. Treehouse.
It's Willow Smith, of course, in the background. What's that? What's that about?
Jaden's latest tweet, by the way, Kevin, I know you're a fan, is, but how many pull-ups can you do?
That's his latest?
That's his latest. That's the last thing he tweeted on Jaden Smith. Well, we wanted to find out more about the greatest rapper alive, Will Smith's son, Willow Smith's brother, Jada Pinkett Smith's son, Jaden Smith, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Jaden.
So this album is called This Is the Album.
Yeah, it is called This Is the Album.
Just This Is the Album.
This is the album that I'm going to rapping. When I need fur, I'll go out and I'll do trapping. Then I will make a coat for my lady, and when it gets hot, I like to be in the shady.
That's terrible.
Wow, did you just make that up, or is that something you've had in your back pocket?
It's just free flowing from my head.
Wow.
Just on the flow.
Jaden,
in what ways do you see yourself as the future of music, as you have so often told us?
Because there's no music out there that is any good. And then when I have a fire, I will put in some more wood. And all the music that I make is the greatest. And it's not the earliest, it's the latest.
Come on.
And that sounds impressive to you? When you hear that, you go, yes, nailed it.
I am better than all the other people. When I look at something, I look through a peephole. And
you can't rhyme people with peephole. Come on. That's BS. What do you think of Jay-Z? What do you think of Kendrick Lamar?
Kendrick Lamar and Jay-Z can't hold a candle to me because when they grab me, I have a handle.
What?
And I am better than all the other rappers because I have my father's money.
Well, now you're pretty cocky about having your father's money. All right, take it easy.
How about Kanye West? How about Eminem?
I don't care if it's Kanye West or it's Kanye East. They are not as good as me, and they are the least of all the people that I
All right, you ready for another fun parrot fact?
Nope.
With a couple of notable
exceptions. No, we are not, sir. No one cares.
Males and females of most parrot species look virtually identical. It takes a keen eye and usually a lab test to tell a boy parrot from a girl parrot. This has been a fun parrot fact. Talk to your parrots coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, it's time for Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
All right, I got three stories for you. One is about Dominic Greer from Chicago, who was suing the Chicago Police Department and two officers because in 2014 he got shot seven times.
All right. I would say he has a grievance.
So he went to his attorney's office on Wednesday. They made the announcement. Hey, all news channels, we're going to go out. We're going to have a press conference, and we're going to announce that he's suing the Chicago Police Department for $15 million. The Chicago Police Department says, oh, that's the guy that has a warrant for his arrest for murder.
Oh, no.
From 2 weeks ago.
Yay!
Killed a guy 2 weeks ago. They put out a warrant for his arrest. He was unaware that there was a warrant for his arrest, so he put out all this press conference that he's gonna, and he walked out and didn't even get to start the press conference.
They arrested him.
Arrested him for murder.
Okay, maybe he didn't know about the warrant, but didn't he know about the murder?
I would think he would.
Okay, then why wouldn't you be laying super low? You don't walk into a police station if you just killed a dude and gotten away with it, right?
He was doing a press conference.
What?
I mean, that's insane.
Imagine the reporters there. They're like, wait, what? What? Zoom in on that. Zoom in.
Why are they arresting him? It'd just be
amazing.
Speaking of reporters, the second story is for you, Allie. This is Jonathan Lowe. He is a newsman for KPHO in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
He was covering the story of a guy in a house that had committed some crime, and he was one of the reporters out in front of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then it hit him that he really had to go.
Go?
To the bathroom.
Oh. Okay.
So he walked onto the property of the person in the story.
No.
Where they were all covering the story.
Mm-mm.
And he hid behind a bush.
Oh, dear.
And he pooped. The reporter.
Oh, no.
Pooped on the front yard.
No.
Somebody was watching.
No.
Somebody was watching from across the street.
No, sir.
Called the police and said there's a reporter pooping on the grass.
Is this real? Is this a real scenario right now?
He was handcuffed,
taken
to the police station, and booked on charges of public urination or defecation.
Well, when you got to go, you got to go.
It's a class one misdemeanor punishable by a fine of up to $2,500 or 6 months in jail.
Oof.
Allie, you spent a lot of hours in morning television standing around waiting for your next live shot. I imagine there's not always available facilities, right?
I was lucky because everywhere I went was either, you know, a restaurant or somewhere that was open.
Right.
But for actual real reporters, hard news, they could be out there hours upon hours in the middle of nowhere.
But is it
right
on the perp's front yard? Isn't that
it's
your last thought?
It's not the ideal place.
Because everybody's looking at that house.
And a lot of times, reporters will take pictures with neighbors that brought them coffee or brought them donuts.
Oh, they will.
People are very sweet about being really nice to reporters that are in the neighborhood. So I bet if he had asked.
Pretty blonde reporters, by the way. I don't know about this guy.
Oh.
Yeah, this guy, maybe not.
Maybe not if he knocked on a door and said, can I poop in your home?
The woman across the street was like, all right, this is too much.
Oh,
she called 911. And finally, guys who called 911 on themselves. This comes to us out of Idaho. There were two men. One was named Leland Ayala Doliente, and one was named Holland Sword. And they were moving weed. They had 20 pounds of marijuana.
Oh, wow.
They were taking it from Las Vegas to Montana. They got to the border of Idaho and started freaking out. Started totally getting paranoid. And thought that the police were everywhere and were circling them and they didn't know what to do. So they stopped their car and they got out of their car a couple of times and walked out with their hands up.
With no one around.
Saying, people, but not cops. They thought everybody was a cop. So they had their hands up and they were like, all right, take us. Look, we can't do this anymore because it's too frustrating. We're too nervous. And they were completely paranoid.
They snapped.
The police would not arrest them. So they called 911 to say, we know that you're surrounding us. Just take us in. It's killing us. The waiting is killing us. And here's the report and the 911 call.
There's two guys traveling from Las Vegas up to Montana with over 20 pounds of marijuana in their car. And according to court documents, the two men were using some of that marijuana. Well, once they reached the Idaho border, they said they felt like they were being followed by cops. And they got up to Rexburg. They pulled off the freeway. They called 911. And, well, you just have to listen to the call.
Hi, this is 911.
Hi, where are the two dumbasses that got caught trying to bring some stuff through your border, and all your cops are just driving around us like a bunch of jack wagons? I just really would like you guys to end it. If you could help me out with that, we would like to get on with it.
Okay, so he has assumed that he's been caught.
Right.
He tells them we're the dumbasses that got caught. And your cops are driving around like a bunch of
like jack wagons. They're just circling.
They were just circling. Yeah. You know, like the police do.
Sure.
When they're just trying to freak you out, but not take you in for any crime. So he's calling 911. He's saying, stop this. Just take us in already.
You got caught doing what?
God. Okay. We kind of got pooched here.
They got pooched there.
Trying to bring some stuff across your Idaho border.
Okay.
And, a bunch of your cops driving around a bunch of civilian cars just not wanting to pick us up. I don't know what's the deal. I was just wondering if you could help us out and just end it.
Okay.
I mean, maybe call one of them. I don't know. It's getting cold out here, man. I just want to get warm.
Okay, so they
want to go to jail.
They stopped their car and they got out to turn themselves in, and it was too cold.
I love, by the way, that in his mind, crossing the Idaho border is some sort of demarcation, like he's in
he's
North
in
Korea
Canada.
Or something.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there's no one at the Idaho border who's waiting for you, all right? There's no check-in point. You just drive in.
Right, but they were all circling him, Bean.
Right,
like
I forgot.
Wagons.
I forgot.
Like they do.
Just get on with this whole thing, so.
Okay. Where are you at right now?
University Boulevard, right next to the gas station in Applebee's. All your buddies are around us, so if you can help us out, it'd be great.
Again, all your buddies are around us. They're all circling,
sure.
And they're all just making fun of us. So just tell them, go ahead and bring us in, because we're getting cold.
And the police know nothing about this.
Correct.
That's what's great.
Yeah, what was your name, man?
It's Leland.
Leland, okay. All right, hold on just 1 second. Okay, stay on the phone with me.
All right, thank you.
Okay, now Leland makes a little joke about being in Idaho.
Hey, nice guy. You want me to jump in the air and kick my heels twice?
Do you guys have any, like, guns or weapons or anything on you at all?
We don't have any of that story with us. Just a bunch of snacks and stuff.
Just a bunch of snacks.
We don't have weapons. We just have a bunch of snacks. Did he say snacks?
I thought so.
I thought he said smack. Well,
I wondered if he was talking about the drugs.
Well, it was weed. I don't know. Let's hear it again.
Cool.
Snacks.
All right. No, I just want to make sure that they're just curious. So.
Yeah. We tried walking away from the car a couple of times, and I've been worried. We tried waving them down. It didn't work, so I don't know what's going on here.
Can you imagine the cars driving by? These guys are trying to wave down. We're ready to turn ourselves
this
in.
This is unreal.
Guys, this might be too high.
That's what?
This might be too high,
it's
I think.
It's possible to be too
high.
Yeah,
I'm wondering what... It had to be laced with something, because this is...
You would think. It's a level of paranoia that you
I've never experienced.
Often
see,
no.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I do have one of my marked units. He's on his way over there, so he said he's on his way to meet you, so...
One of my marked units that is now aware that you exist and have 20 pounds of marijuana.
All right, thank you.
Holland Sward and Leland Ayala Daliente were charged with trafficking marijuana. Police say when they showed up here, both men had their hands behind their head. They told the cops they were surrendering, and the marijuana, which was inside of a dog kennel, was on the sidewalk ready for the police to take away.
They were all ready. Just pick them up and stop playing your stupid cop games.
Very cooperative. I'm sad for a drug dealer right now.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
So what are you going to do without a car is my question.
Look,
that's question one.
It's Kevin and Bean show here at the world famous K-Rock. We don't know that my car was stolen. Okay, all right, let me back up.
Okay.
So moving to New Orleans, as you know, I've been back and forth all summer long from Seattle to New Orleans. But this weekend, tomorrow, is when the official hit the road. My wife and my dogs and I pile into a rental and drive the 2,678 miles or whatever it is to my new house.
What could go wrong?
So that's happening tomorrow. Okay, so I didn't drive my car. It's too small for us to make that trip. So I thought, hey, I'll ship it. I'll send it on one of that's what their business is car transport. Mm-hmm. So my wife lined it up. I wasn't involved at all. And she said, I found a place. They're very reputable. But it was kind of janky the way it came down, like last minute. Like we didn't hear from them. And it was starting to get into be like the last few days. And we're kind of running out of time. And I needed to give my car up so they could be sent to New Orleans. So we get a call the other day at like 4:00 in the afternoon that said, hey, can you meet me in Tacoma in an hour? All right.
What?
Again, nothing was set up. Can you meet me in Tacoma in an hour? So I'm texting back and forth with the guy, and he's like, yeah, I'm the guy who's going to pick up your car. So we meet in a parking lot.
See, right there now.
Yeah.
Now, right here, if you drive to another city and give your car to a guy in a parking lot.
Yeah, usually they come to you. At least every time I've shipped my car, they come to you.
I've never heard of shipping a car. You just drive it. I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, no. They put it on a big lift on a big transport car thing with a ton of other cars that are going to that side of the country.
Okay, so Bean, were there other cars?
No, there weren't other cars.
Oh, no.
So I scramble to drive to Tacoma, and you know we text back and forth, and I find this parking lot, and this guy shows up, and he's like a carny, okay? I mean, really, like... super sketchy, and I don't know. I thought because of the nature of the transaction, because you're dealing with something that is fairly valuable, which is a car, I thought there might be inspections or signatures or paperwork or something. And he had me sign a piece of paper that he then took with him, but I didn't get a copy of anything. And then he drove away my car.
Okay, hold on. When you went, did he then look around your car and mark things off? Like, oh, there's a dent here, that type of thing, then make you sign that?
That may be what I signed. Yes, he did walk around the car and inspect the outside.
Or maybe that's good.
That's good.
That's a little more legit. That's a guy pretending to be a guy who drives cars across country, right?
Probably.
As he drove away, did you hear...
No, but here's what happened. So it all happened so fast with so little formality, and he wasn't like, I don't know. I thought he would be wearing a uniform,
of course,
or he would have a card, or there would be something. But it was just a carny.
I would have thought
like
you would show up at a business, not a parking lot.
It's just a guy in a wife beater, you know what I mean, in a pair of shorts, and he jumps into my car, and he drives off, and then his friend drives off in the other car that he had arrived in. And it occurred to me as I was walking back to the ferry to get back to the island, it occurred to me, I wonder if that guy was legit. Like, is it possible that I will never get my car and I will never hear from this guy again? And I could text that number right now and it's already been disconnected.
I just have to say I hope so.
I hope not.
Because it won't be funny to you right now.
Right.
A couple of years from now, you'll go, hey, remember that guy that I gave my car to?
What kind of insurance would that be?
It'll never be funny.
10 years from now, you wouldn't look back and go, oh, I did a dumb thing.
But this is the thing. You know, all the people that you hear about who get scammed, it all seems perfectly reasonable to them at the time because you're being played into the perceptions of how the transaction is supposed to go. And it's not until afterwards that you realize, oh, I shouldn't have sent him that check, or oh, I shouldn't have given him my jewels, or whatever it is that you thought was a legitimate deal turns out not to be.
Bean, you give jewels.
But B, if this was a few days ago, that car should be arriving in New Orleans well ahead of you. Are you aware of that?
I haven't heard from the guy. I hope the car makes it to New Orleans.
You got scammed.
I don't think so. I hope
you
not.
You got scammed.
Again, I need to talk to my wife more about this, but she set it up through a website that she said appeared legitimate.
Right. A website that appeared legitimate.
No.
I'll let you know on the other end whether my car arrives. So
here's exactly how it ended.
All right.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
So it kind of got us to thinking about how often people get scammed. Unfortunately, there are a lot of very bad people out there. Look, you can't have an email account without finding out that somebody wants to give you $2 million. And you know, for the most part, that's because they're trying to get money out of you. So scams are everywhere. What has happened to you? This is your opportunity for us to learn from your mistake. What did you fall for that you thought was completely legitimate, but you ended up being ripped
off.
That's the topic. 1-800-520-1067.
I would assume that most people would see some warning signs, like, say, taking your car to a random parking lot.
After the fact, I hear so many stories of people who get scammed that after the fact, they always go, yeah, I see how I fell for it.
Right.
But at the time, you're not in the mindset because you trust the person that you're doing business with.
I'm saying you should just get ready to buy another car.
You don't know until it's revealed that it's a scam.
Right.
I just saw a story the other day about somebody who paid a couple $1,000s for some purebred dog and showed up at the address on the day she was supposed to pick up the dog. That address didn't even exist. There was no person. There was no dog. She had already paid for the dog. They gone.
Who sends a check for $2,000?
And who isn't going to shelters and adopting dogs?
I know. My point is, in that person's mind, it never occurred to her that she wasn't buying a purebred dog from a breeder. But the entire thing was a scam, and she's just out that money.
Okay, so she's out $2,000. Bean's out a car.
I'm out a car.
Now we're going to talk to Nick.
Our friend Nick is on the phone. Hey, Nick. Welcome back to the show.
How are you, Nick?
I'm all right.
Listen, I got an email from Nick a couple of weeks ago who said, I feel so dumb I got taken for a scam. And I'm not sure I completely understand, but it had to do with somebody giving you money to deposit in the bank. Right, Nick?
Well, the deal was I went looking for work on Backpage, and one guy responded to a bunch of the ads I wrote to. And
isn't that like all escort ads?
Yeah, isn't it porny?
Like massage and...
Well, there's work there, apparently. I went looking at a lot of places. Okay, and he says, like, all right, I want to do a, shopping and mailing and correspondence job. I'll send you, the money. You shop for me and, send it. And I wanted to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
It felt weird. The whole thing felt weird the entire time, but it also felt like it could be real. That's the thing. I wasn't 100% sure.
Okay, so how much money did he send you in a check?
$2,400.
Okay. $2,400.
Oh,
and you deposited it.
Yeah, and I quit. After the first day, he asked, instead of, doing shopping, the deal was, I'd be shopping for him. That was what we agreed upon. And after the first thing he asked was for me to put money in an account, and then I really don't feel good about it, but I just kind of do it because I'm put on the spot with it. And then afterwards, I kind of think about it for the rest of the day, and the next day,
you're right where Bean is right now.
Exactly.
I quit the next day.
So hold on a sec, Nick. Just so I understand, he sent you a check to deposit, but then he also asked you to add money as well. Is that what happened? That's how he scammed you. Is he got some money out of you?
No, he told me to take the majority of the money he sent me and put it into another account.
Right.
Yes, and I did not like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then his check bounced.
Yeah, his check did bounce. And basically, I went to the police and I filed a report and I gave them the emails.
They get right on that Backpage.com crime.
Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, no, that's a high priority. You're gonna see whatever money you put in, you're going to get that right back.
Now, did you do any shopping for him or send him anything?
No, He violated our agreement because he told me to do something we didn't agree upon, and that's when I quit.
Was it a massage?
Because Allie said the ad was porny.
What did he ask you to do?
He wanted me to shop for him, but what he really wanted me to do is put money in another person's account, and I did not like it. I did it because it felt like on the spot.
All right, how much money did you lose, Nick? What was the scam? How much?
It was two grand, but basically the police said I was the victim. And basically it's kind of ongoing because I'm probably going to get a lawyer involved.
So are you out $2,000?
At the moment, my bank's account situation is not good.
Okay.
And I really feel bad. And
okay,
I feel stupid.
Don't feel stupid. Look, Nick, here's the thing. You're in the same place that I am in that, in your mind, hey, this looks legitimate. I don't have any reason to suspect that this guy, although this guy was doing an ad in Backpage, so maybe maybe you should have your antenna up a little bit.
I hate to be mean, but you should both be feeling stupid.
but you want people to be nice.
Right,
you want to be able to trust people.
Nick only lost $2,000. Bean lost a car.
I did lose a whole car.
I wanted it to be real, and it felt like it could be real, but at the same time, it wasn't 100% it didn't feel like I got 100% slam dunked in me before.
Yeah, I understand. I got you, Nick. All right, well, listen, let us know how that turns out for you. I hope that you get your money back and you're not out.
I just want to be out of trouble. I don't know, how much I can say. All I know is I got to probably get a lawyer.
All right, okay. Well, that sucks. We're sorry that happened to you.
I know.
Thanks for coming on, Nick.
Thank you, Nick. Right, we appreciate it. All right. Bye.
Okay. All right. We have to take a very quick break. We got some great calls. Heather, please hang on. Yuri, you as well. Christina, we'll get to everybody right after this. How did you get scammed? It seemed legit on the surface, but then you realized you had been taken. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Roll.
Remember when Bean used to have a car?
Those were the good days. Remember when you could go out and get in your car and then drive someplace?
It had 30,000 miles on it, so I had a good run.
Sure.
Yeah, I gave my car to a carny a couple of days ago. I'm hoping that it makes its way to my new home, but maybe I was scammed. I guess we're going to find out within the next few days, but that's what we're talking about here in the Kevin Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. You thought it was legit, but not so much. Why don't we start with Heather? She's in Costa Mesa to get us going up on line two, please.
Hey, Heather.
Hi. So what happened was I was looking for my new car, and I was getting a Mitsubishi Eclipse. The deal looked amazing. It was like $2,500.
Hold on, Heather. Hold on. Oh. Bean, is that your car?
Maybe my car is already being resold.
That's what I'm saying, yes. Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Heather.
So it looked amazing. I even asked my dad, I'm like, hey, is this legit? Because it was online. They're going to ship it to me. My dad's like, yeah, that looks totally great. He was excited. So they're like, just wire us the money and we'll ship it to you. I'm like, all right, perfect. We've never done this. Cool. So
how much?
Wire them the money, $2,500.
Okay.
A month goes by, no car. We try to contact them, like, never heard from them again. Like, then the site was, like, just erased, like, no trace of them.
Wow.
Oh, man.
At least you had the backing of your dad, though.
Yeah.
Right? So, no, but I mean, so it's sort of not all your fault?
Yeah, I was still stuck in my first car.
Well, technically it wasn't.
No.
It was somebody's first car, right?
Technically, you didn't.
Yeah, technically not mine.
You didn't have it, right?
All right, Heather. Sorry that happened, but thank you for the call. Let's go to Yuri. He's up next. Line three, please. He's in L.A.
Hey, Yuri.
Hey there.
You got scammed?
Oh, yeah. So good. So I was driving home, basically, and these two guys pull up in a really nice car at the stoplight, and they're like, hey, do you want a laptop? And I was like, you know, I was in college at the time. I was like, definitely.
Can I interrupt you right there?
Sure.
I feel like the answer should be no.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they're guys in a car while you're driving.
But, Kevin, a lot of stuff falls off the back of a truck, in quotes,
there
that people then turn around and sell on the street at a tremendous discount.
So, Yuri, you assumed it was stolen, but okay, because you really needed the laptop. All right.
Absolutely.
I'll allow it.
Absolutely.
All right, go ahead.
And so they get out of the car. They pull out this brand-new sealed Dell laptop. It's like, my girlfriend works at Dell. Couple of these fell off the line. If you're interested, they're $300 a pop. I do my due diligence. I go on eBay on my phone. I'm like, dude, this thing is worth $1,000 easily. I'm like, I get out my money. I have like $400 in my wallet. I'm like, awesome. I'll take one. And then I notice they have one in the back. Another one. I'm like, I'll take that one too.
Oh, Yuri. Did you open the box?
No, because
of course not.
They were sealed.
Okay.
They were sealed.
You know what?
You can't mess with that.
The weight was there. Like, they're heavy, and I'm like, yeah, this is awesome.
The guys in the car went, this guy is so much better than we thought.
He wants both.
We were going to have to do this twice until Yuri showed up.
Yuri.
Oh, you poor bastard. What was in the box?
So I get to my house.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
Phone books.
Phone book.
Yuri.
Wow.
Were they recent ones? Could you use
really?
Them?
The phone books?
I'm just trying to help.
Tell me what goes through your mind when you open that box.
You're an idiot. I was like,
Bean's an idiot. That's what you thought?
Like
and it was easy after the fact. It was easy to understand why you fell
absolutely.
For it. But at the time in your mind, you were just thinking, oh, it's my lucky day.
Yeah, fell off the back of a truck. I get
exactly.
The laptop. Awesome.
Mm.
Great call, sir. Thank you so much for it. We appreciate you listening. Let's go to Tustin, please. Line five. This is going to be Diana. Did not go well for her.
Hey, Diana.
Hi.
Hi. What happened? How'd you get scammed?
I signed up for a dating service through my phone, and so the guy I was talking to found out I was walking, and he said, oh, I work for a car dealership, and, you know, I could help you. Even though your credit's bad, I can help you. Just meet me at this place. So I told my brother, because my brother was looking for a car too, and he had the money saved up. So we ended up finding a car, went to this place, went to the dealership, walked in the office with like we went to this place that he told us to meet him at with like $5,000, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brother was like, oh, they only wanted like $3,000. So then when we went back to the dealership, They had no idea who we were talking about, and it was just basically jipped out of a car. And
wait, so he posed as a car salesman?
Uh-huh. that he's like basically the middleman. He's like, oh, you don't have to worry about your credit and all this. And
I mean, technically, if he's ripping you off, you don't have to worry about your credit.
That's true.
That was a true thing.
So when an offer is too good to be true or seems that way, maybe sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is too good to be true.
Sorry. I think
it's more it just felt bad because it was my brother, and he saved up for this money. And to this day, I'm still trying to figure out how to pay him back.
Yeah.
For that.
That's a lot worse if it's somebody else's money.
Yeah, that's very sad. I'm sorry.
Sick to my stomach after that, and
thank you, Diana.
Phone numbers didn't work. No problem.
Thank you.
Fire bear mug. All right, let's try Ryan in Huntington Beach. He's on line one. He's got an interesting one.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, party people.
How'd you get scammed?
Well, this is about 10 years ago. I was in high school. I used to download a lot of music. Mm-hmm. Some would say illegally.
Some would, yes.
one day I was sitting there, and computer just went black, and screen popped up with a bunch of stuff on it. Had like the FBI federal seal in the corner, and it said all this stuff about FBI.
And and you thought busted.
Yep, your computer's been locked due to illegal activity. All this stuff, and it said, "Send us." I think it was like $300 or $500 in a MoneyGram.
Because that's how the FBI does business.
Exactly,
exclusively with MoneyGrams.
So it was like $300 or $500. I don't remember at the time, but I was in high school and I was scared because it was probably
of course,
my mom's
yeah, yeah, because you expect the FBI is going to show up at your parents' house and you're going to be in serious trouble.
Yeah, so I of course ran out the door, ran there, got the MoneyGram, sent it to him, and then afterwards decided I should probably do some research on this.
Mm-hmm.
Found out it was a well-known scam.
Yeah.
Then I spent another I think $700 to have the virus wiped from my computer. But it embedded itself so deep, they had to erase everything.
Oh,
man. But at least
you get to keep the music.
Was it not even worth it for all those Limp Bizkit MP3s you were downloading?
No, because I didn't even get to keep them.
Oh, man.
All the music was wiped away. That's amazing.
Pictures, I had family pictures.
We
should have
hooked you up with Yuri. Everything. He's got some cheap computers.
That's right.
Yeah, I hear they're the right weight.
Thanks for calling.
So I was telling you a few minutes ago about how I got a phone call from a guy. He said, meet me in a parking lot in Tacoma in an hour. Give me your car, and I'll drive it to New Orleans for you.
It's
allegedly a car transport company. And then I started thinking maybe I got scammed. Maybe the whole thing was a big ripoff, right? And then it occurred to me while we were playing that song, another time I got ripped off is there was a guy who was fighting internet trolls, and I sent him like a $200 or something like that for his legal defense fund because he was gonna make the internet a safe place for podcasters. And I thought, that's valuable. That's worthwhile. I'm going to support that.
You donated to that?
I donated for that. Never heard anything back from the dude. And then I picked up the paper the other day, and I read that he bought a $4.5 million automobile. And I thought, have we all just been scammed again? Is that where our $25, $100, $50 donations went so Adam Carolla could buy a new car? Refresh my memory, Allie. Which is your favorite of the James Bond movies over the years?
The one where he's like, oh, pew, pew. And then a pretty lady's like, oh, James Bond.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Okay.
I mocked because we found out that Allie has never seen a James Bond movie. But in her defense, they've only been out since long before she was born, and
I'm
there have been about 25 of them.
Very busy.
There's a new one coming out this November that we're very much looking forward to. Daniel Craig is back as James Bond, Inspector. But here's some more big news for 007 fans. Give me a little of that music there, Chip, while we're talking about the Bond, if you would. Of course, dozens of very popular, successful books in the franchise, 25 movies, something like that. And now James Bond the Musical has been announced. Executive producer Mary Saltzman, the daughter of Harry Saltzman, the late legendary Bond movie producer, has said that her company has acquired the rights to a musical that is going to be either in Las Vegas or New York on Broadway, a James Bond musical.
Okay.
Now, can you picture that, Kevin? I'm having trouble picturing Bond as a musical.
I can't really, no.
I mean, it does have a lot of iconic characters, but it's a spy movie. It seems like it's about special effects and action pieces and whatnot. It seems like that'd be tough to make the transfer to the screen, or to the stage, rather. But maybe it's possible. I mean, they brought a lot of movies onto the Broadway stage. So we wanted to find out more about it. We said to Dave, who can we get? He got us the great Sean Connery, who, as you know, was
an early great James Bond on the films. Hey, Mr. Connery, welcome back, sir.
I was the original James Bond, you douchebag.
Okay, all right.
I wasn't an early James Bond. I was the effing original James Bond, the first one.
The first James Bond. That is certainly one of the early ones, right?
There would be more than early. It would be first.
First. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Connery. We appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for being an idiot.
All right. I accept your scorn, sir. So, look, you have been critical when we've spoken with you in the past on some of the changes the series has gone through since you left. You weren't a big fan of some of the people who came after you in the role. That's How do you feel about James Bond, the musical?
I think it's a great idea.
Wow. Really?
In fact, I'm ready to return to the role.
You want to actually be in the musical?
Picture that. Coming to Broadway, Sean Connery is James Bond again in James Bond the Musical.
I mean, wow, I think people would be very excited, but aren't you retired and 85?
I am all those things.
Uh-huh.
But I would come out of retirement for this because I have been dreaming of performing in a James Bond musical for my entire life.
I think I would have predicted just the opposite.
I
sang in the very first James Bond film, Dr. No.
Oh, you did? What did you sing?
Underneath the mango tree, me honey and me.
That's good.
Yes. I was in Darby O'Gill and the Little People, for God's sakes.
And that was
a musical, a Walt Disney musical.
A musical, a musical.
I love to sing and dance. And I want to return as James Bond, a singing and dancing James Bond.
All right.
I've been working on my own musical, my own James Bond musical, for years.
I had no idea.
Maybe they can use some of the songs I've written for this new musical.
You've written songs also?
I have indeed. And I think I'm ready for the stage. Let me give you a little sample of my James Bond musical.
Please. Oh, that would be terrific. Thank you.
Nobody does it wetter because I use lots of lube.
Okay, that doesn't seem appropriate.
It's a love story. My musical is a love story.
Right, but I don't know that it's about lube, though. That's not what the thing is.
It is if you do it right. Here's another little ditty I wrote for the musical.
Okay. Chills.
Goldfinger.
Uh-oh.
That's what I got when I touched the wrong spot on you. It's where you poo.
Okay, I think we get it. We get the idea.
It's a love story.
Right.
It's
a love story.
Nothing about love there, though.
That is a lot about love there. Imagine two people. James Bond meets a beautiful agent from Russia.
Right.
And he works for Spectre.
Uh-huh.
And they're across purposes together, but they've known each other for many years.
Right, we get it.
And so Bond finally falls in love with it, and he's equal, the spy who loves him.
Right. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then they sing this touching ballad.
Okay.
When you were young and your purity was still intact, you used to say, let's not have sex.
Background singer.
So I found a way for you to stay a virgin, and you gave it a try.
I'm horrified what's about to happen.
I put it in your brown eye.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Sean. Nice talking to you, sir. Come on.
Right?
Goosebumps, right?
Right.
Very excited to welcome our friend Alan Tudyk back on the phone. We love him so much from Firefly and Serenity, and I think the last time we had him on, he was talking about newsreaders, but you've heard his voice in Wreck-It Ralph and Big Hero 6 and Moana and Frozen, and you'll hear him in a little film called Rogue One. Open it up in just a few days here, the latest in the Star Wars series. Can't wait to talk to Alan about that. Alan, your life has changed, my friend. It's all different now. You're in Star Wars.
Oh, my God, man. I'm in Star Wars. Well, it hasn't changed yet. I think it has to open, and then I'm expecting a great many changes. I'm not going to be interested in the fatty foods.
right?
I'm going to jog more. It's just going to, things are going to turn around.
That is going to change everything.
Wow. And you know, you got to move, right? Because wherever you're living in now isn't fancy enough for a Star Wars actor. You're going to have to upgrade. I'm sorry if, I'm not sure if you're married or not, Alan, but bad news for the little lady. It's time to upgrade in that department as well.
I just got married.
I'm sorry.
It's bad timing on your part.
You got to do it.
Saved so much money on that wedding.
So one of the, I have so many questions, and I know that there's a guy from Lucasfilm with a, or whoever's running it now, with a gun to your head to make sure you don't say anything you're not allowed to. But right. I'm so fascinated with your character in this movie, because you didn't just go into a booth and do a voice for this droid, K2SO. Right. You're on set with the actors live while everything else is going on around you. Tell us about it, Alan.
It's kind of like doing a movie, just any movie, except you're wearing the silly sort of, what Diego Luna calls the tightest pajamas anywhere. And I was wearing stilts, which was great because he's 7'1". So that that was neat to be above everybody.
Did you ever face plant with those?
No, I did not.
Oh.
And anybody who may have seen that, they were paid off and
didn't
whatever.
See it. Okay, all right. So it didn't happen as far as we know.
They're not talking. it was amazing. You just sort of, you act there on set, and then they come in and do all the magic later.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can, you know, make things happen on the day that wouldn't happen if you weren't there. We did a lot of improving, if you can believe it.
What? That's the most shocking thing to me, because I would feel like writing a Star Wars movie is like adding a book to the Bible, and you know that it is going to be dissected for the rest of time, and people are going to be all over every inference of every word. How can you just make stuff up on the fly that's going to fit?
Well, luckily, K2SO is, you know, he doesn't tell jokes, but he's pretty funny. He was reprogrammed, and so he has this sort of blunt sense of, I don't know, he just tells people what he thinks at any moment, like a child does. You know, they don't mean to be funny, but they'll say the thing. Like,
right.
Mommy's fat. And he's like, oh, my God. Where did he get that? And so he has a tendency to say things like that within the movie that are funny. So it doesn't affect the plot, the story, and all of the, you know, the major sweeping themes within the movie to make different little funny lines. And,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
The now, Independent said that K2SO is hilarious and is the best Star Wars droid yet. That's some BS, right?
Well, they haven't seen the whole movie.
I'm saying, though. Poor R2-D2.
Well, R2-D2, yeah, he's my favorite. Although, you know, he cusses like a sailor.
Oh, is he dirty?
Yeah.
Didn't realize that.
Huh? So good to know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you could translate what that guy's saying... He's racist.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing what they used to get away with in movies back
then. It's crazy. Never thought of him as racist.
Yeah. Oh, R2-D2?
Everyone knows.
Racist.
All right, my bad.
Everybody knows that.
Is there a time when you're on the set, and look, you're a very accomplished actor with a long career, and you've been involved in lots of great projects with lots of great actors, but, you know, Star Wars is different. Is there a time where you look around, and I don't know what's in front of you and what they add later, but, I mean, do you see – is there a time when you're on set and you're looking at the Death Star, for instance? Does something like that happen?
They didn't have that on set.
Okay.
But there were a lot of times where you're surrounded. Oh, man, it was amazing. Because it's more of a war movie, this one. It's shot a little differently. It's handheld a lot of the time. You know, the director was doing the camera work a lot of times in the trenches, literally. We were on a beach running, which is hard to do in stilts, running.
You fell.
I put.
You were on the beach running. Don't you lie to me.
Like, I fall in bare feet when I'm on the beach running. You're on stilts.
The running there were actually this time. There was this backpack of shame that I would put on.
Okay, good.
That had a telescoping head out so I could run with my own legs, which made it a lot easier.
I gotcha.
But
all right.
We're running down the beach. We're surrounded by other rebel troops. We're running towards some stormtroopers. We're running from imaginary AT-ATs. And they go like, you have to see that mark in the distance, run towards that, and don't go around it. Please, you've got to just stay on your line, because they had a spaceship come over. So they had like a half-built spaceship that flew over our heads, because they had it on a crane, comes over our heads. There's this monkey alien on a turret on the side going, da 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 da. There were troops. It touched down. Troops both boarded. Both are just deplaned out the sides. Jumped down, joined the fight. people on one side of me, one guy launches in the air because he hits this spring, explosion, flies in the air, falls down beside me. Guys are doing that all over the place and then into the water. And it...
That sounds awesome.
It was like the best, like, playing battle with actual explosions, and then there's stormtroopers all around. So that was exhilarating.
That's living the dream right there. This is the voice of our friend actor Alan Tudyk here on the phone. We're talking about Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. The premiere is this weekend at the Pantages, and then the movie opens everywhere on December 16th. Allie can verify that it's impossible to buy tickets for the 16th, right, Allie? Those are gone.
I finally got some. Ooh, I actually got some for Thursday night at 7:30.
Boom!
Suck it, Fandango! Yeah.
Alan, while we have you on the phone, I was very excited to see that is it this week that Con Man comes back through Comic-Con HQ, right?
Yes, man. Yes. I think it's tomorrow. It's my show.
It's your show.
I should know these things.
It does say December 8th. So it is tomorrow.
Yeah, it's tomorrow. So I write and direct this, and we did season one. We crowdfunded it. Sci-Fi fans gave us over $3 million. It was insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was just because Felicia Day was in it, though, right?
Well, she does have a lot of pull. And, yeah. You know, I most of that $3 million just went to her
right to her.
Off the top.
Sure. Well worth it, my friend.
Yeah. And it did really well. And Lionsgate came along this year and said, hey, can we do another one of those? So they launched this channel called Comic-Con HQ, and it's kind of a Netflix for nerds, although I've always considered that Netflix. being a nerd myself, I watch that. But our show's there. And
what's awesome about it, Alan, is it's kind of, I mean, it's like Larry David plays kind of a pumped-up version of the real Larry David. You're kind of playing you in that you were in Firefly and right. Serenity, except you've gone on to have a real career, and your character in Con Man kind of is still struggling to repeat that success.
Exactly. And so it's set in the world of Comic-Cons that go on all around the country all the time. But it's such a rich place to write comedy. We have a musical this year with Lou Ferrigno.
I'm sorry.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Did you say a musical?
Yes.
And Lou Ferrigno. Always pick the deaf guy to sing. That's my motto and always has been.
Exactly. He nails it. The idea is that we're at a con and he has written a musical version of Mice and Men called I'm with Stupid. And
what?
Are you high right now?
He's so high. He's just petting a dog.
So we end up getting trapped in this boiler room with a lot of people who are guests at this Comic-Con, and we decide to put on the play, and we put on, there's like 5 songs in the thing. And
wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that happen this season.
That's beautiful.
And you can stream that at comic-conhq.com.
Yes.
Yes, and your co-star, obviously, Nathan Fillion, your old friend, is tremendous in the show. And you've got some great guest stars this year, including Tricia Helfer is going to be on the show, and Seth Green, Mindy Sterling, Summer Glau, Sean Astin, James Gunn, Joss Whedon. I mean, come on.
I know,
like
man.
You said. Like you said, Netflix for nerds. Check it out, Comic-Con HQ, and don't forget Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, opening up a week from Friday. Alan, we're very excited to see you in the movie. It's always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you so much for the time today.
Great to talk to y'all.
Bye-bye. That Alan Tudyk is a delight, by the way.
So great.
So funny, too. Such a great actor. Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Tuesday morning. Hey, it's time for another Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes.
And we're committed to that intro. That
love
production
it.
Piece is
might be the best intro we have.
That's
it's
the one we're going
now
with.
Now and forever.
All right, Ralph Garman, you are in the game, as is Kevin Ryder, and
who's our new player?
Well, filling in for Allie McKay, who's out sick today, it's Beer Mug, which means the game's going to take a little bit longer than usual because we constantly have to remind him what the category is. But Mugs, are you ready to play?
Let's do it.
Hello. I like it that way.
He's right in front of the microphone, Kevin. What could be a bigger cue for you?
Let's do this.
Press the
As
button.
You know,
let's just remember that when he starts guessing.
That's right. Kevin may look like the smart one. Right. As you know, today is National Pancake Day.
But March is a month that is full of commemorative holidays because yesterday was National Cereal Day. Ugh. And we kind of let it pass without comment. But today I have for you Ranker.com's list of, the crowdsourced list of, the best breakfast cereals of all time. Now, this is a classic debate that has happened in almost every household in America at some point. If you had siblings growing up, you always fought over what was the better cereal, right? Well, they've crowdsourced this to more than 80,000 people have voted on this, on the best breakfast cereal of all time. Kevin, I got to tell you.
Kevin might win this one.
I think this is your category, man, because no one likes breakfast cereal more than you do, and the more sugar, the better. And these are your people who voted for this,
He's
all right?
He's the only guy on the show who still eats like a six-year-old, so he really has the advantage.
This
exactly.
Is this is my wheelhouse.
This is you. This is your
This
subject.
Is you, man.
This is Final Jeopardy. You'd be so happy. Take home all the money.
All right. So the best breakfast cereals of all time, again, crowdsourced by more than 80,000 votes at Ranker.com. We are going to try to get the top 10 here today. Kevin, position of honor at the head of the table. You get the first guess. What say you?
Lucky Charms.
Well, oh. Lucky Charms comes in at number 3 on the list of the best breakfast cereals of all time. Well done. Was that the one that had the most sugar? That's why you thought of it first?
Yeah, it's candy.
I eat it the most.
It's the box of candy with some flakes in it.
That's exactly what it is. All right, Ralph Garman.
I'm going to go classic. I'm going to try to keep it classic. Because right. I think these people would, you know, across the board. I'd have to say Captain Crunch.
Ooh, good Captain one. Captain Crunch is an outstanding guess, and it is number 6 on the list.
All right, there we go.
A lot of crunchy fans. Well done. Spear Mug.
I'm going to go with my absolute
favorite. Is it Toyota?
No, come on. My absolute favorite of all time, it's like churro in a bowl when it's done. Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch is your guess.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Number 2, ladies and gentlemen.
Look at Mugs!
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I'm so out of my element here, standing between you two guys talking about cereal. We got the human eating machine, and we've got the child. I have no shot. I have no shot in this game.
I'll tell you what, I'm not seeing my grape nuts on this list as far as the eye can see, by the way. I wouldn't do very well. Well done. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is number 2.
The best.
All right, so far we have Lucky Charms number 3, Cinnamon Toast Crunch number 2, and I think Ralph had Cap'n Crunch at number 6. We're looking for the other 7. Kevin, you're up.
I would say Fruit Loops.
Number 5. Yeah, well
Fruit
done.
Loops is strong.
Ralph Garman.
We have not even touched on the whole chocolate genre of breakfast cereals. So I have to see, if I have to go, I got to go with the classic again, Cocoa Puffs.
Cocoa Puffs, sorry, Ralph, is number 11.
Oh, wow.
Just outside the top 10, but a great, great guess. All right, Muggs?
Well, Fred and Barney told me to eat this cereal when I was a kid. I'm going Fruity Pebbles.
I'm going to say Fruity Pebbles is number 8, and Muggs has done it again.
Wow.
Look at you.
Is anyone keeping score, by the way?
No.
That's how he usually does that.
Just on me. No one, I don't see anyone writing down anything.
Kevin
just
and Muggs
I'm ahead.
Both have 2. I know that. Okay. So they're in the lead.
And I have 1.
Lead.
Ralph has 1.
And you have 1. That's right.
Okay.
You guys are doing great on this, by the way.
I don't think they're all sugar, so I'm going to go Raisin Bran.
Ooh, Raisin Bran is an interesting guess. Let me see. It is number 14. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Kevin stumbles. I never thought I'd see the day. It's like Tom Brady throwing a pick in a playoff game.
It's me just trying to get more extreme than I actually am. Just guess the dumb ones.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, by the way, we're talking about Ranker.com, their list of the greatest breakfast, the best breakfast cereals of all time. They crowdsourced it to 80,000 votes, and we're trying to fill in the top 10. No one has come up with number 1 yet, by the way. That is still on the board.
Yeah. Again, I'm gonna try to stay conservative. I want to stay in my lane. I want to play the small game, playing small ball. I'm gonna say Frosted Flakes,
ladies and gentlemen.
That's number 1.
Frosted Flakes is number 1.
Wow,
number
one. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Woo!
I almost feel like there should be extra points for number 1. That was well done.
But don't
Ralph.
Change the rules now.
Yeah,
no, I'm not.
Points. You're right. 100 points. For number 1.
I'm in the lead by 7.
No, all right, Muggs.
I might as well.
It's all tied up. It's all tied up.
It is all tied up. All right, you're up,
Muggs. It's an exciting match.
What's the prize money again? Muggs?
Let's do Tricks are for Kids.
All right. Spit out his coffee. Are indeed for kids, and they may be on the list, but I've scrolled down to the top 40, and I don't see it there. So apparently tricks are maybe for kids, but they're not for people who filled out this
Ralph
survey.
Ralph is an actual spit take.
Clean up at Ralph's chair.
All right, one more go-round, you guys, with a tie game.
He said his advertising slogan as if he just came up with it. I'm going to go with tricks. Tricks are for kids.
Drop the mic.
Oh, man. Like, no one had ever said that before, Muggs acted. That was spectacular.
He may have thought that. He doesn't know why he's saying it, but it sounds good
someplace.
Did somebody say Frosted Flakes already?
Yeah, I did. That was
number one. We made a big to-do about it, yeah.
Frosted
there was much fanfare.
Stop
nope, still
it.
Still has been already
Honey
guessed,
Nut
yeah.
Cheerios.
Number four, ladies and gentlemen. Look at Kevin.
Wow.
Kevin is in the lead. It's his game to lose with the game to you, Ralph.
Well, again, I've gotten this far just by sticking to my game plan, which is to go with the classics, the legends, the ones that have been around forever. So I'm going to have to go with Rice Krispies.
Number 10.
Woo!
Look at that. 3-3 right now. Muggs, are you still in the game?
Let's see here. I'm going to go with something that I think Kevin would enjoy very much, and that's the Reese's Pieces peanut butter puff cereal. Right?
That is number 20. I'm sorry, Mug. That did not make the top 10. It was number 20.
Reese's Peanut Butter Puff cereal. Ben.
Wait, so if I'm correct in the scoring, then Ralph and I are tied and Mug's lost.
Yeah. That's correct. Shall we do one more and see if we can get a winner here?
Yes, and this round will be 2 points.
So
if I bet it,
can't say
I can
that
win.
Because you're behind. Again, we're not changing the rules, Bugs. All right, let's do one more and see if we can get a winner between Ralph and Kevin since they're
all
both
right.
tied.
This is the bomb diggity. Ready?
I'm ready, yeah.
Oh, good.
Count Chocula.
Oh.
Boom. I couldn't believe that wasn't your first guess, Kevin. It's your favorite cereal, but it came in at number 26.
Bogus list.
26,
man.
Yeah.
There has been nothing chocolate in the top
Stupid.
10 to the best
yeah.
of my memory. That's crazy.
Yeah, you were close with Cocoa Puffs, Ralph, just outside the top 10 at number 11. But yeah. All right, one more guess, Ralph.
Apple.
It's for the win.
Apple Jacks.
Apple Jacks.
A is for Apple. J is for Jacks. Cinnamon Toast the Apple Jacks.
Did you just
Ladies and
up?
Gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner. Number 7 is Apple Jacks. Ralph Garvin is your Beat Mixes guest. Can't be in there. Let me give you the top 10 for the ones that you guys missed. Number 10 was Rice Krispies was number 10 on the list. Number 9 was
Ralph said that.
Yeah, Ralph said that. Go ahead.
Number 9 was Cap'n Crunch Crunchberry.
Ooh, Crunchberry.
Number 8 was Fruity Pebbles.
Love Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah.
7 was Applejack. 6 was Cap'n Crunch. Number 5 was Fruit Loops. Number 4 was Honey Nut Cheerios.
Oh.
Number 3, did anyone say Lucky Charms? I think we said Lucky Charms.
I said Honey Nut Cheerios and Lucky Charms. All of these so far. You're acting like the first time we're hearing them.
And then
Fruity
number 2 was
Pebbles. Yeah, Beermug said that. Yeah.
Number 2 was Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Did anyone say that?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Beermug said that. Yeah.
And number 1 nobody got was Frosted Flakes.
Frosted Flakes.
So congratulations, Ralph. You are the winner. This has been Beat Mixes Guess.
Beat Mixes Guess, yeah.
Once I was 7 years old.
Me too, but I didn't write a song about it.
Right? That's
right.
To your credit,
right? It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 24 minutes after 6.
Actor Kamal Nanjiani on the program later on today. Hey, I almost said his name right. That's one of those names I have trouble with, man. Also, the great Jim Rome will join us. Next hour, we're going to take your calls of whether you have been arrested or reprimanded or disciplined for indecent exposure, Kevin. That's all coming up on KROQ Plus, a brand new Internet Roundup. I have been following this story since it broke last April in Britain, but the one of the largest bank robberies in British history happened last year. And the trial just ended this week, and the men involved, the co-conspirators, were found guilty. So they'll be spending a long time in jail, and all of them will die in jail because the main conspirators in this bank robbery are 76, 75, 67, and 60. They have been called the Grandpa Gang. Did you see the details of how they stole all this stuff, Kevin?
Yeah, they entered an elevator shaft. They climbed down. They drilled through like 20 inches of cement. I mean, it was
insane. When I first heard this, I thought they just went in, stole some money.
No.
This is an Italian job type robbery. And there's no question there's going to be a movie about this, right? There's no question.
Of course.
They stole from the bank 73 safe deposit boxes, by the way, including jewels, gold, and cash worth more than $20 million. Like I said, one of the largest burglaries in English legal history. The main guy on the case, Brian Reeder is his name. He's the oldest also. He is 76. He has already done jail time for a robbery back in the 80s at Heathrow Airport where he stole $40 million worth of gold bars.
Oh,
this guy is a baller, right?
You know what my favorite part is, though? That he got to the location by using his senior citizen bus pass.
He did.
I love that so much.
So 76-year-old Brian Reeder, the leader of the Grandpa Gang, before he is sentenced, we thought we'd get him on the phone and find out how he's doing. And he joins us on K-Rock right now. Hi, Mr. Reeder. Thanks so much for coming on.
Oi, how you doing?
We're doing fine. I'm sure you're very upset about the conviction being found guilty for this robbery.
Not really.
You're not?
No.
I'll be back at it. I'll be stealing more. Can't keep me down, mate.
Well, how many years did you get?
I don't know, 20.
And aren't you 76?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, I'm saying if when you're 96, I don't know that you're going to be back at it.
Listen up, you tosser.
Okay.
At 76 years old, I was drilling through concrete.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
crawling
you were.
Down elevator shafts.
That's true.
Yeah.
Stealing millions of pounds worth of gold, diamonds. Cash.
It's impressive.
It is impressive. I mean,
Damn right, it's impressive. You can't do it now. So trust me, when I'm in my 90s,
all right.
I'll be knocking off banks, killing bobbies.
Okay, well, I hope you're not killing anybody. But
I hope you're not doing anything. I bet you don't, you poofter.
Besides the obvious, that's where the cash is, what attracted you to a life of crime? You seem like a smart, resourceful guy. There's probably lots of other things you could have done legitimately.
Are you familiar with National Health?
This is the in Britain, this is when you go to hospital?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Something
right,
like
this is health healthcare in your country.
System in England.
Right,
or
yes.
Or when we go to hospital, you're a third grader.
Well, that's how it's said in your country, Brian.
Yeah, but...
So go ahead. So the healthcare system, what's that have to do with you robbing banks?
You know how crappy it is? So you get to my age, you have certain medical needs.
Okay.
And the only way you can get them is to pay cash.
Oh, I see. So you needed a bunch of dollars. Okay.
I need a lot of dollars. How else are you going to get me Viagra?
Well, you have to get your Viagra, yeah.
Yeah, I do. Because that's how I got through the concrete wall.
It said, in the article, it said drilling, and I assumed
that's
that.
Right. I was drilling, mate.
I was drilling
real good.
With a drill.
I just got me a poster of Ursula Andress.
Because she was popular and hot in the early 1960s.
Shut up, lady. I'm old.
So
a woman in the 60s would be attractive to me.
Okay. All right.
Timely reference. So I put up a poster and I started drilling.
Right.
Started drilling, right.
And the next thing you know, bang!
Meaning you got through 20 inches of concrete.
No. I mean, I broke my penis.
Oh, that's sad.
But then we go in with a regular top drill.
Right, after you had sex with the wall.
After the broken penis incident.
Right.
Which is what they're now calling it.
Okay.
And I was able to get inside the vault, and then we cleaned them out. And so now I thought, you know, with all the extra cash, I could get all the Viagra I needed and take care of all my ailments.
Okay.
Including my horrible IBS.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
It's horrible.
Nope.
I'm sorry to hear that, Mr. Reeder. That's
how we got through the wall after my penis broke. I just
really?
Bent over and blasted through it.
Oh. That's what the bang was?
No, the bang was the broken penis. Pay attention.
Sorry.
The bang was the broken penis. And then
so then you turned around.
I turned around.
Right.
Right.
Okay, we don't need... No, please don't. Come on, Brian. Oh, no, again with this. Okay. We've been talking to Brian Reeder from the Grandpa Gang. All right, now it's getting impressive.
Started out gross, but now...
Yeah.
Now I'm intrigued.
Props.
Oh, it does sound like a troll.
Wow. He wasn't kidding about the IVF.
So he gently pushed it open, apparently. Ouch. Wow.
I just feel for the other three guys in the gang.
Much of the loot was rendered unusual.
Minutes away from actor Arthur Darvill from Legends of Tomorrow. Coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus Ralph will have the showbiz beat. Welcome in on a Wednesday morning. Hey, Ali, I have a question for you. I'm asking for a friend. What's the what's the policy these days on sending penis pictures? Are the ladies into it or not into it so much?
No.
Really?
I don't know a woman that has ever received a penis picture and said, yeah, this is,
really?
This is gonna happen.
Then you know the wrong women.
No. I hate to break it to you guys. Them. Penises aren't attractive.
Oh. You've
they
never
are
seen this one.
Oh God!
Hold on
but,
a second.
Okay, I'm no, not looking at you.
Put it down, Rob.
Let me unfurl it.
No, put it down. But wait a minute. I understand that women are not as visually motivated as men are. I get that. But what if it's a guy that you're dating that you're into, a boyfriend, maybe even a husband? How about that? Is a penis photo okay?
I'm sure. If
maybe
if
even
it's
a coworker. Maybe a
okay,
coworker.
Ralph, with your unfurling.
Listen, I'm
no.
not talking about me.
No. Listen, if that's what you're into, you're into it. I am not.
Do women
I don't
want
to see
them
it.
Attractive at all? What's the
no,
point
they're
then?
Horrible looking.
Well, then why do
they
you
have
sex
a purpose? They have a purpose.
Oh my God, you're the worst. No wonder you're single.
And you're the worst person to ask the second part of my question because you probably haven't seen one in years. But I mean, how about when it's there being useful? You know, ribbed for your protection and all of that. Are you into it then, or is it still? Do you still
Absolutely.
Look away and it's hideous?
Okay. When it's there for its purpose, yes.
Al just looks up at the ceiling. And just
when's it
do
done?
Do what you need to do. just let me know when it's over.
So a penis for you then is like it's like a lawnmower. It's a utensil that you bring out when you need it. You have a job to do, but it's not something you want in your living room, right?
Yes, I don't want a lawnmower in my living room.
Good point, Bean.
Good point.
Once again, your analogies right. are spot on.
I think we're all on the same page now. All right, the reason I bring all of this up is to bring this story to you. This is a woman in New York who has made a career out of and is making a very good living being a professional penis photographer.
Nope.
Yes.
That does not happen.
Beautiful Iranian-born New York photographer. Her name is Soraya Dulbaz. And when I first saw the headline, I thought, oh, this is guys will hire her to have her come and take a professional photo of the penis so that you can send it to the girl and it'll look
it's
good.
It's like glamour shots for your penis.
Glamour shots, right, yeah. And it'll
put
be it the right...
Out, put over the mantle.
It'll be the right lighting and the
sure.
soft or whatever focus you need.
Right. Put a filter on it. So put a feather boa around it.
That's what I thought it was all about, is just to make a regular penis photo even better. But no, that's not what she does at all. Listen to this report.
I'm Soraya Dulbaz, and I was born in Iran, and now I live in New York. And I'm a professional photographer. Back when I was single, I would get a ton of pics, and my friends would get them, and we would show them to each other.
Sure.
And some pics were better than the other ones, mm-hmm. and I thought, what if I took them with a professional camera? And then I was walking through Walmart and I saw a couple of dolls. I just kind of put two and two together and thought I could create a personality out of penises.
Right.
All right, let me stop you right there.
Good.
This is where it got weird for me because now she's not trying to take an attractive penis photo for you to impress your lady, whether to turn your lady on. Now she's creating a character out of your penis. She's basically using your penis like a puppet and dressing it up.
I can't tell you how many times I've been walking around Walmart and it dawns on me, penis pictures.
And I'm so confused by this because isn't the whole point of sending the original penis picture to turn the lady on? Now if you're dressing it up like Sherlock Holmes or something, it's a joke at that point, right?
Where does the pipe go?
I was going to say.
Oh, dear. That's what I want to know.
All right, let's hear some more from our professional photographer.
And so I started collecting costumes, and then I would talk about it with girlfriends, and then slowly people came forward and said, oh my God, you got to shoot my boyfriend, or I'm seeing this guy who would love to do this. And so I would make arrangements with women, and they would bring their partners forward, and obviously the girl would fluff,
okay.
and I'd stand on a chair and take a lot of
Oh,
all right, now let me stop you there. So, Allie,
this is the cart before the horse. This is a woman trying to create a job out of one that doesn't exist.
I know that you say that, but you hear at the end of the piece, we'll get there, how much money she's making. All right, Allie, about, let me give you the opportunity to revisit your original horrified no to penis photos. How about if somebody sends you a penis photo and, you know, the penis is dressed up like the Queen of England or something? Is that cool? Are you into that?
Do you hear the words that are coming out of your mouth?
He makes the worst choices for penis pictures.
How about if your penis? How about if somebody sends you a penis photo and it's got a little Tom Brady jersey and helmet on? Now are you in?
Oh, now you're talking. Go on. Yeah.
All right, let's hear some more.
And then it took off from there.
Kind of get the feeling sometimes like guys get the short end of the stick when it comes to sex. Like we're sort of utilitarian. So I just wanted to like have a second where I could like feel like you know, everybody wants to feel desirable. My advice to anyone who's gonna do this is bring a good loving partner that loves your penis.
Good advice.
Earlier this month, I had the opportunity to exhibit my work in one of the biggest international art fairs in the world, Art Basel in Miami. It was a huge opportunity for me to get my work in front of a much bigger audience and to really be part of the art world. 2 years ago when I took my first pick, I never thought I would be here today. You know, selling limited edition prints in Miami for
$10,000. Stop. Oh, too bad. I was going to have you guess. $10,000 prints of some of her penis photos.
Nope. This is all
roll
a lie.
It back. Roll it back, Chip.
This is all a lie. I don't buy this for a heartbeat.
Limited edition prints in Miami for $10,000 a piece, and having a product line that includes adult novelty items like calendars and mugs. And it's surprising and very delightful that people just like on things.
She has made a business out of her penis photos, calendars, mugs, T-shirts, prints.
How many $10,000 penis prints has she sold? Just because she put the price tag on something doesn't mean she's making that.
Well, she says she's selling them. Uh-huh. She says she's selling them. Yes. I mean, so you doubt that this is even a business that's supporting her?
I don't buy it. Here's my penis mug. You want one? Okay, I'll take one. She made $20 once. She sold a mug. That's it. Lies upon lies.
But we're still dressing up ours and sending them all to Allie, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Okay.
I got one of me as Donald Trump with a comb over that you're going to love.
Can't wait. All right, so yesterday we were talking to Allie. And Allie, why don't you tell the people what happened to you yesterday morning or whenever it was?
My alarm goes off. Uh-huh. I do what I do. I get in the shower. I just washed my hair. And then the last thing I remember was kind of falling over. And then I woke myself back up. I fell asleep standing up in the shower. Who does that?
I don't know. Dave is here raising his
hand. Raising his hand.
Because I might die tired, but I could never fall asleep standing up. I just couldn't.
You're not a horse.
Right. I would lay down and I can't, it's never happened.
Yeah, it was bizarre. And had I not been falling over, I wonder how long I was
You'd
out.
Still be in the shower.
Yeah, I would be. He's so clean.
Now, Allie, are you somebody who has narcoleptic tendencies or has had a problem in the past with being in a waiting room at the doctor's office and all of a sudden you realize you've nodded off in places like that?
I cannot sleep. I will lay down and for 2 hours I'm thinking, I got to fall asleep. If I fall asleep now, I'll have 8 hours. Fall asleep now, I'll have seven. Fall asleep now, I'll have six. I can't sleep. So the fact that I just nodded off in the shower concerns me.
And this is the first time it's ever happened.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Dave is the opposite of that. Yeah, it is a miracle when when we're having a meeting and we look up and Dave is still awake, like his eyes are open, we're stunned because Dave falls asleep everywhere, all the time, always. Where are some of the places that you've nodded off, King?
You name it, I've slept there.
Oh,
you know,
I envy that so much.
Right. I think like the best ones are the Kiss concert. I think that was in the third row, right?
And Dave and I went to see Kiss with Ted Nugent, and I looked over at one point during Kiss, who, by the way, are incredibly loud with fireworks going off and everything like that. And Dave was sound asleep in the third row at a Kiss concert. Like, I don't know how you could if you were drugged, I don't know how you could sleep that close to Kiss.
In the shower, I've done that where I just sleepwalk into the shower and just continue to go to sleep. Strip club driving.
Strip club?
Yeah.
They're working hard for your money and you're sleeping?
Oh, right on the runway. Right on the runway.
What's a runway?
You know, where the girls come down and and everyone's throwing cash.
Sure.
Dave's not throwing so much cash.
Yeah, I have my dollar in the air.
He's dozing.
And I understand you're able to sleep with actually a cocktail in your hand and you don't spill it.
I've done that before, yeah.
You used to be worse. You used to fall asleep in the car, right?
I used to be way worse. Now I'm not so bad, but yeah, when I was in my 20s, I was just like, I could fall asleep anywhere, anytime. And,
well, this sounds medical.
I don't think it was. I think it was just me being me and, running myself tired. And then, I fall asleep at the dentist's office while they're working on me.
While they're drilling?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
What?
Well, we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to talk about the places where you have found yourself sound asleep. Isn't our friend Jimmy Kimmel, doesn't he have this sort of problem too? Isn't he one of those guys with the narcolepsy? Falls asleep all the time?
I don't remember that.
Allie, you heard from some listeners when we brought it up the other morning early. What did they say?
Yeah, a guy named Eric Butterfield on Twitter said, in the middle of the afternoon after a good night's sleep, I fell asleep, then woke up a second later while riding my motorcycle.
Oh!
Whoa!
That's not good.
Wow.
Yeah, and along those same lines, we have a listener. His name is Dan in Calgary, Canada. He said he usually rides his bike, a commute over 20 kilometers each way. I don't speak Canadian, but I think that's a lot. And once at the end of a particularly long week, I nodded off while riding home on his bike.
Wow, that
sounds
so
you're
bad.
Active. Yeah. You're in the middle of pedaling.
That's not always. You could coast every once in a while.
Yeah.
Just nod right
that's
off.
Cuckoo.
I was once at an important dinner for my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just nodded a ride off. Right
at dinner.
And, right at dinner. In the middle of conversation. Sweet. I was in the conversation.
Were you talking?
We were talking.
What?
I was talking.
Dave
I said
was
a
talking.
Word.
I
pitched in my comments and then woke up and, right back at it. And then,
gosh.
All right. Well, let's take a couple of calls on this. You fell asleep where? That's the question at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Corey. He's in Long Beach, line one. If you had given me 100 guesses of where a listener would have fallen asleep, I would not have predicted what Corey is about to tell us. Welcome to the show, sir. What's going on?
Not much. I said in work.
You fell asleep where?
I was bowling.
What? All right. Now, the important question here is, were you waiting for your friends to take their turn, or did you have the ball in your hand?
I literally was walking up to the line. I pulled my arm back, and the next thing I hear somebody go thud behind me. That's when I wake up and realize I dropped the ball.
Oh, my God.
And it was rolling backwards.
What?
Corey, were you drunk?
No, it was like they like to go bowling 2 in the morning because it's cheap. And
I don't care about that. If you have a bowling ball in your hand and you're moving forward,
right.
I don't care what time it is. How do you fall asleep?
I just did. I could not stay awake. I was
wow.
Corey's magic.
Is that the only time that's happened to you, or are you a guy that happens to a lot?
I nod off, but not usually when I'm being active.
Yeah.
Right. All right. That's great stuff, Corey. Thank you so much for the call. Let's go to line two, please. Amanda's in Santa Clarita. She hears that you fell asleep at a Kiss concert, Dave, and she would like to top that.
All right, Amanda. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
So I was at a Misfits concert, and it was a standing concert. And the next thing I know, I'm literally asleep standing up, and my boyfriend is shaking me to wake me up. So that was the first one that I fell asleep at. And then, do you remember the Golden God Awards?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I think it was the first year, and it was Megadeth performing, and I passed out.
She wins.
Asleep during Megadeth.
So you fell asleep during Misfits and Megadeth.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, Megadeth.
Wow.
What does it take to keep you interested?
I don't know. Apparently not really extreme music.
I guess not. All right, Amanda, thank you for the call.
Other concerts Dave has fallen asleep at, Slayer and Radiohead. I missed a complete Radiohead show at the Hollywood Bowl because I just decided to take a nap.
At the Hollywood Bowl?
At the Hollywood Bowl.
You went to the show. You parked.
Went to it.
You got to your seat.
Got to my seat.
Missed the whole show.
Missed the whole show. Took a nap.
How about movies, Dave? I bet a lot of people fall asleep at movies, but how about you?
Oh, I've paid a lot of money to take great naps.
Yeah.
I went to see Hellboy 2 twice. Fell asleep both times, and I said, ah, this probably wasn't
Forget
a good
it
movie.
Then.
Yeah, I said, it probably wasn't a good movie.
I mean, at least that's understandable, though, because you're sitting down, and you're quiet, and you're in the dark. At least I understand falling asleep.
I went to an IMAX screening of Pirates of the Caribbean, the fourth one. As soon as Jack came on the screen, knocked out, woke up, it was the credits.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That's IMAX. Fantastic. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Where did you fall asleep? Your call's next on K-Rock. UFC insider Ariel Helwani joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll be talking all about UFC 196. You know, you got your Conor McGregor versus your Nate Diaz, and you also got your Holly Holm versus your Misha Tate. It's going to be a hell of a bill in Las Vegas. We'll talk to Ariel about all of that. Right now, we're taking your calls on where you fell asleep. We're hearing from a lot of listeners. Dan writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, I fell asleep during a job interview. I did not get the job. Armin writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, I was manning a 50-caliber machine gun while on patrol in Iraq when I fell asleep.
Oh, my God.
And then Mr. B writes in, guys at work, I can't call, but I fell asleep at church. I was on stage behind the pulpit reading scripture in front of 4,000 people.
Excellent.
He was the minister. They were his services that he fell asleep during.
Wow.
Aww.
All right, let's take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's give Ryan a shot on line two, please, South El Monte.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you. You fell asleep where and when?
Oh, man, this is embarrassing. It was in Vegas, and I was pleasing my girlfriend.
Oh, Ryan.
And you fell asleep?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a long night of partying, and then, you know, how that goes.
Sure. And at one point, she's thinking, well, he's taking a breath. That's okay. Hey, wait a minute. Where are you, Ryan?
Are you done?
Get back to work.
Know, she actually woke me up because I started snoring.
Wow. Well done, sir. Thank you very much for the call. All right. Let's try Jonathan Corona, line four, please. Talking about where you fell asleep and maybe you shouldn't have. Hey, Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
Hey, so I was having a root canal done. I'd been working a whole lot of overtime, and, you know, they numbed me up and started working, and that was it. I was out.
That's best case scenario, though, right? That's when you want to fall asleep.
It was perfect. The dentist said, you know, that's the biggest compliment I've ever been paid.
Wow.
You literally fell asleep. You had to shake me. He's like, my God, I thought you were just relaxed.
Did you tell him it's not all you? I had a late night.
No, I just let him take the credit and enjoy
all right.
it. You
oh,
know?
Okay.
A great day.
You're a good man.
Doesn't top the guy with the 50 cal fall.
No.
Yeah, right? That's crazy.
Thank you for the call. Speaking of dentists, Marissa writes in. She has a Kevin and Bean Lister streaming us from Seattle right now. The dentist I work with fell asleep while working on a patient. All right, this is a dentist falling asleep. She says it happened multiple times. I have also worked with a hygienist who's fallen asleep while cleaning someone's teeth.
Wow.
So that's a fairly relaxed office, it sounds like. All right, let's go to Carla in Burbank, line five. Allie, you tell me if you've ever heard of anything like this.
Carla just hung up.
No.
Oh.
Carla.
Carla fell asleep, she said, while having her eyebrows waxed. Doesn't that seem like the type of thing that is painful enough that it would keep you awake or
it
no?
It would.
Do I not know anything about eyebrow waxing?
It's pretty
you
aggressive.
Know enough.
Yeah.
You know enough. Let's go to Shane in Corona. Hi, Shane.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. You fell asleep where?
I was in the Army. I joined the Army in like 2005, and in AIT, which is where you go to school for your training, you know, just still trying to adjust to the Army life. And they told me to stand up because I'm passing out, and then next thing you know, I'm actually standing up, and then I'm knocked out. The next thing you know, I hear a drill sergeant say, finally in rest position, move, and then that's pretty much when I wake up, but the whole class are laughing at me, and then I just have to do like 80 push-ups, and then that was pretty much
good
it.
Times.
Yeah.
Any story that ends with "then I have to do 80 push-ups" is not a story that I want to be anywhere near. All right, thank you for the call. Let's do one more, and let's make it Tim and Whittier. He's on line seven, please. This is perhaps terrible, terrible timing for nap time.
Hey, Tim.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, so I was driving home a late night, and I fell asleep while I was behind the wheel, and I ran a red light.
Okay.
And so a cop was right there, and they saw me. So they pulled me over. I was able to see them, you know, so I make a left-hand turn to get pulled over to the street. And by the time the cop, you know, got behind me and walked to my car, I had fallen back asleep. And he was, like, on the wind.
When he got up to your window, you were already asleep.
Asleep again.
I was, like, out. And he was there, like, knocking. He told me, he's like, I've been knocking for 30 seconds. And, yeah, I was out. So he's like, are you drunk? No, you know, I don't drink, anything like that. But, yeah.
Oh,
so
Jim.
Did he give you a ticket for running a red light and for something else or just the red light ticket?
No, I didn't get a ticket at all. He just told me to take my keys out of the ignition and stay in my car and go to sleep right there.
How about that? That was very cool of him.
Very nice.
No complaints.
Nice job.
106.7 K-Rock. This is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:23. Hey.
Jim Rome on sports later on today. Also, Anton Yelchin is going to be joining us. He's Chekhov.
He is indeed.
Yeah, and he's one of the stars of the new film Green Room that looks so good with Patrick Stewart. We'll talk to him about that. And tonight is the final ever Love Line on K-Rock.
Oh, finally, right? Who's with me?
No.
Thank God we got rid of that crap.
No, I'm not
sad
at all.
Oh, I'm just super sad about
I got
love
bumps
line
in my penis. Oh, it might be papulae. Whatever.
Might be what?
Papulae.
Okay. All right. Adam Carolla, who, of course, co-hosted the program with Dr. Drew for many, many years, is going to be co-hosting again tonight as they say goodbye, and we'll talk to the Ace Man coming up just after 9. That's all on the way, plus Blink 182 will be here in studio next hour, too.
Ralph, why is Beer Mug in the studio with us?
Because he's gifted.
I thought that we had removed him from this space.
He is special.
He's special.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
He has a gift.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We discovered some weeks ago that when Johnny was down at Shake Shack, he had a Chicago dog, what they call the Chicago dog. And as he was eating the Chicago dog, he broke into this uncannily accurate Chicago accent.
And by uncannily accurate, what do you mean?
You thought you were watching the Cubbies from the bleachers. That's what I mean.
And that's where Johnny Chicago was born.
That's where Johnny Chicago was born. So we realized that Beer Mug he's like a savant. You know, he's barely functional in everyday life, but he has an uncanny knack for replicating perfectly regional accents.
That's great news.
And
that's
how do we not use that to our advantage?
That has to be very impressive for you, Ralph, a guy who has, you know, pretty much made his bones with your voice work over the years and your accents and impressions, everything like that. You've got to look at him and go, wow.
I am humbled and dwarfed by the power that is Beer Mug, man of a thousand accents.
You could probably learn from him.
I do every day. I randomly ask him, hey, Mugs, do this now. I sit back and just sit at the feet of the master.
It's Beer Mug, man of a thousand accents.
Accents, man, Spanish to an Irish man. Come on, step up and represent. Beer Mug, man of a thousand accents.
Ow! Like it.
Now, I'd like to preface this with I'm a little nasally today, so I don't know how much my accents are going to cut through.
Oh, your instrument is
my instrument's a little
top form.
Yes, and I don't know if everybody's going to get the right.
Take it easy.
Okay.
I think your talent will shine right through that sickness.
We have tried this before. What we do is we take the wheel O and we load it up with regional accents, and then we just spin the wheel, and whatever it lands, Johnny doesn't know what's coming. Beer Mug will just hit you with a perfect spot-on accent from that area of the
fantastic
world.
Fantastic. This is something I absolutely cannot do, so I'm looking forward to this.
No one can do it, not like Beer Mug. Shall we begin?
Please.
Let's see where we land. All right. Texas. A Texas accent.
Texas accent. Ooh, yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah, all right, here we go.
Howdy, partner. Would you like to come over to the oil fields with me and catch a steer? Maybe we can go to the rodeo. How's that sound, partner?
Steer just hanging out in oil
fields? Why are you a steer in your oil field?
I like to consolidate my.
Yep. It's
uncanny.
I was in Dallas there for a minute.
Wow, that's crazy.
This is crazy good.
Oh, an East Indian accent.
Oh, good. What could go wrong here?
So imagine if you'll close your eyes.
Okay.
And imagine we're in New Delhi for a moment.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Hello, my friend. How are you? Would you like to go to 7-Eleven with me? Is that not racist? I think that is.
I think it is.
And I'm done.
Beer Mug, man of a thousand accents.
Sure.
Well, he didn't have a lot to say in that accent, but what he said was perfect.
He sure did. Oh, a Cockney accent from the East End of London. A Cockney accent.
Oi! Let's get drunk and fight, shall we?
Beer Mug, man of a thousand accents.
All right.
Why did you just yell it?
His Cockney guys are loud.
Watch his eyes. As soon as Ralph says it, watch his eyes. He's transformed.
I think he may have burned through his material for this accent as well with that last one. But how about an Irish accent? Landed on Irish.
Okay.
Ooh, Ireland, okay.
I'm from Ireland, and I like potatoes and shamrocks and Lucky Charms.
Oh, my God.
Man of a thousand accents.
It's getting worse.
Yeah. Oh, this one should be fascinating because it's near and dear to my heart, the Philadelphia accent.
Oh, wow. Now, this is with the Philadelphian in the room.
Yeah,
now,
right.
Be careful here, Bugs, because Ralph is going to be able to tell.
Tread lightly. Wow.
Perfect. Okay. Here we go. How
about we go down to the Flyers game, and that's, that's my
dear
I was home.
Too much
pressure.
I clicked my ruby slippers and boom, I was there. I was right there in the Wells Fargo Center.
Oh, man, that was bad.
No,
you're kidding
me? Perfect.
Nailed it.
Awesome.
You got half a sentence out of that one, man.
Yeah. That was pretty sweet.
Russian.
Okay.
I like to play hockey, yes? I like to drink vodka.
Let's keep going on this one.
Back in Mother Russia, me and Babushka would dance the night away.
Go on.
And we'd make our vodka from potatoes, yeah? What? Now I am Swedish.
Beer mug, man of a thousand accents. Beer mug, man of a thousand accents. Beer mug, man of a thousand accents.
It is Monday morning. Welcome to an all-new week of Kevin and Bean shows. By the way, the very funny W. Kamau Bell is going to be joining us in studio at this time tomorrow. Also, Ralph, your friend Sadie Allison is going to be back.
Ah, the doc.
Apparently, it is National Self-Pleasure Month.
You don't have to tell me.
Look she sent me, right me a now. Lovely care package.
Yeah.
Really?
Look yeah.
Right now. Look at me.
Okay. All right. Stop. Stop.
Yes.
Is this Self-Pleasure Day or week? Or how long do I have to
month.
Do this?
Month? It was yesterday.
You missed it.
I'm
so sore.
Anyway, that's... please stop doing it. That's all tomorrow right here on the Kevin Beach Show. First, though, we got to take care of some business. We were having a conversation after the show on Friday, and I think, Ralph, you brought up what you had seen on the red carpet at Cannes, right?
It wasn't what I had seen, and I even didn't know this happened until the media went ape-ess over this story, which was really what caught my attention, was that I saw in tons of media outlets people treating this like it was the moon landing, that Julia Roberts walked the red carpet at Cannes Film Festival barefoot. That she took her shoes off and she climbed the famous, iconic steps of Cannes, covered by a red carpet for the premiere of Money Monster, her new film with George Clooney, and she has slipped off her heels and she walked up barefoot.
Right? Wait. Is that the whole story?
That's the story!
And then what?
News outlet after news outlet covered this as if she had a face hugger jump out of her chest from Alien and just breed right there in the red carpet. They were stunned and shocked and outraged. And some people were really outraged, like went off on
How
her.
How mad can you be?
This is my point. I'm no foot fetishist.
Same.
But I think an attractive woman's bare feet can be really sexy.
Agreed. But even if you don't like it, how mad can you be?
Right. And that's when I found out that Dave has foot phobia or foot horror or whatever, with foot feelings, whatever he's
harboring. Was the reason people were treating it like such a big deal just because it was the protocol there is to be as dressed up as possible and to wear heels and fancy dresses?
Well,
they thought she was slumming it, like she was too informal for the formal event? Is that what the play was?
It's a giant foreign film market, and you get all kinds of women in bikinis and stuff and everything. It's a circus.
Okay,
now,
all right.
The film festival itself is sort of high profile, but by no means, I think, was she out of bounds because she took her shoes off to walk up the stairs.
Plus, if you're Julia Roberts and you're at a film
festival. And if you look at these pictures of her, talk about self-pleasure month. I mean, that does it for me. She just looks sexy as hell, and the barefoot thing is totally working.
Now, at this point in the meeting, Dave started yelling.
He went off on feet.
Well, listen, I'm not saying about this in general, because this is a whole different subject. But I'm talking about the people who are barefoot in public, who are, you see them on the freeway, they stick their feet on the
their dashboard and right. have their feet out the window.
Oh, that's sexy as hell.
That's the most disgusting.
If there's a girl in the passenger seat with her feet out the window while they're driving down the road, and like in the summertime, oh, man. Boner. Right? Right?
Wrong. Wrong.
That's sexy, Dave.
I think it's sexy, too. All right, Dave.
No.
All feet?
It's not gross. All feet. Why is it
all
gross?
Feet. All feet. So, yeah. So I was saying, you know, as long as you take care of your feet, I don't care.
But most people don't.
Okay, but in this case, Julia Roberts
everything.
You were outraged by her on the red carpet.
I wasn't outraged by her. No,
yes, you were.
Ralph used the.
You said she's on a red carpet. That's so dirty.
Yeah, you did. You said, look at her. She walked on the carpet. That's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, she shouldn't be walking barefoot there, especially if they have a rule of. Because the reason why people are upset about Julia Roberts is they have a rule where girls are supposed to be in high heels. And that's the thing. And they even turned away people. Yeah, but that's not the case.
I think it was.
Yeah. She should not be barefoot. But there. It's just disgusting.
Why is it disgusting? They're just feet.
Because then when she's walking on that carpet, the carpet's dirty itself. And then you're going to see
the carpet. Do you think they went on a used carpet to put the Cannes Festival?
It's your feet get dirty when you walk on. Things.
Okay.
You know? You know it.
Listen to how intense Dave is
when
right
you
now,
walk
by the
on
way.
Things.
Yeah.
They get dirty
they
when
get
you walk
dirty.
On things.
Okay, here's my thing, though. You're not, you didn't have a date set up with Julia Roberts to lick her feet, right?
Oh,
then how
so
does
do
it
that.
Affect you?
I would so do I know that, you by would. The way.
How does it affect you?
I'm not saying it affects me, but I'm just saying we got into a discussion of being barefoot in public, people being barefoot in public.
Right.
That's what we were talking about, and that's what I find disgusting.
But then you even said you hate it when guys wear sandals.
Well, that's, yeah, that sandals with pants. That's the whole difference.
Oh, okay, you're insane.
Yeah.
That's a
okay,
fashion
thing.
That's a fashion thing.
Dave's all about fashion.
I will back Dave up on this.
Okay.
When someone sits next to me on a plane and then they take off their shoes.
Yes, it's gross.
Keep the socks on. I'm fine. I'm okay with that.
All right.
But you take off your socks.
I've never seen that.
Oh, I see it all the time.
Really?
It is disgusting.
Like, what if they have really nice feet?
To me, there are no nice feet.
I think because
really? Yeah, no. Feet are gross.
There are no nice feet?
No, feet are disgusting.
That's madness.
I think a lot of feet are disgusting, but because people don't take care of them. I feel like a lot of people take care of their feet.
Yeah, I don't care how great your pedicure is. Your feet are so gross.
It's just a social faux pas because you're in close quarters, trapped with someone. You shouldn't do anything sort of intimate or personal, and that is taking your shoes and socks off. That's kind of like an intimate thing. You shouldn't do that.
I take off my pants.
In
is that cool?
Place.
No, that's fine.
On the plane? Okay.
Like, we had
that in restaurants, I think, are the two places where you shouldn't have your bare feet because people might get freaked out.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think it's all fair game.
We had Uriah Faber come in the studio a couple weeks ago. He wore sandals, took off his sandals,
jeans and sandals,
picked up his feet, and started playing with them in our office.
Yeah, he was touching
disgusting.
In between his toes and stuff.
It was gross. But even Luke Rockhold, who was his buddy next to him, was saying, dude, that's disgusting.
But he's a guy who spends probably 90% of his time without shoes.
Right.
You know what?
That's his life.
Well, the 10% should be in public where they should be on.
What if he
in
didn't
public.
Touch
Free
them.
The feet, Dave.
Yeah,
free the feet. Come on.
What if he didn't touch him? Because I know that's what pushed it over the top of you. What if he didn't touch
him? What if he just had his feet just hanging out?
It's still not cool.
Really?
Yeah.
What about
think about it.
What about the surfer guy that works here? His feet don't bother me. His feet don't bother me at
Jay's
all.
No, mine either.
Jay is always barefoot.
He's
the nicest guy. And for some reason, in my mind, those are his shoes.
Because he's a surfer.
They're not his skin shoes.
Hold
no.
on, hold on. He's a surfer, so he spends 99% of his time without shoes. And his feet look perfectly fine, and there's no issue. There's zero issue.
It's I don't know why.
Then Muggs takes off
the
shoes.
Yeah, but it's just disgusting.
No,
yeah.
Muggs should be wearing a burka, right? Just head to toe, he should be covered with something.
But I'm saying people's feet, if they're nice, who cares?
No, they should not have. They should be wearing shoes.
Why?
Wear shoes,
why do the feet have to be trapped?
Because they're gross.
Listen,
gross.
And your whole sanitary argument goes out the window because you touch more filthy things with your hands all day long than you do walking barefoot.
Yeah,
so should we all wear gloves?
It has nothing to do with sanitary. I'm just saying it's gross to look at.
Huh.
Yeah. I'm not smelling the feet. I see them. If they're in the next car, I can't smell the feet. But I see them, and it's just really distracting and gross.
All right. What do we want to look for? Should we try to find some more Daves? Because maybe they can articulate in a way that he's not.
Yeah. What's with all the feet hate?
What's with all the feet hate? That's a great question, Ralph. So 1-800-520-1067. Whether you hate that Julia Roberts walked this red carpet barefoot, or you hate seeing somebody stick their feet out the window when they're driving down the road, or walking in a park, or whatever they're doing, you are saying,
saying, cover up your feet at all costs. That's the person we want to hear from right now. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock.
If you're just joining us, we were having a conversation based on Julia Roberts walking up a flight of stairs in her bare feet at Cannes Film Festival. And apparently a lot of people are spinning out. Dave doesn't ever want to see a person's feet in public. And those are the calls we're going to be going to. Listen to this. Just text it in on the 714. Feet are gross. They are dirty. The ground is dirty. And when they're in shoes, they get hot and sweaty and sticky. In public, I have no interest in seeing any of that. In public, it is inappropriate and disgusting.
Oh, man.
In your own home. Knock yourself out, says the 714 caller.
And saying there's a lot more bad parts of a human body than the feet.
Dear Kevin DeVita, I hate to be on KOM's side, but feet in public is gross. Nothing worse than seeing feet hanging out of a car either. Barf, says Christian.
Come on.
Belinda says,
why all the feet hate?
Belinda says, and this might be an interesting distinction, Dave, for you to tell us about. Dave's argument makes no sense based on the fact that you can see feet in flip-flops. Do you have a problem with flip-flops or women's sandals, he wants to know.
Good question.
Or is just the bottom of the feet you have a problem? I hate
flip-flops because you see the feet.
Yeah. All right, what about girls' sandals? You can still see the feet.
If you're at the beach, fine, because it's the beach. But
if a girl's wearing
what
sandals.
What a pair of strappy sandals
right.
with a sundress.
In summertime, walking down Sunset Boulevard.
Fine.
Whatever. All right, let's take this call.
They begrudgingly allow you to wear sandals.
I'll allow it.
Let's start with Live 3,
don't take
please.
Those off. Do not take those sandals off.
Live 3, 1-800-520-1067. This is going to be Valerie. She'll get us going from Rancho Cucamonga. Hey, Valerie, thanks for calling. Thank you for holding on.
Thanks. Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Val, what's up?
I hate feet.
You hate feet?
Anyone that knows me, I hate feet. Like, if you want my seat in the couch, put your feet on me and I will run away. Like,
I would never stop doing that.
My friends knows that that's what they need to do. Like, put your feet around me and I'll be like, oh, you're disgusting, and I walk away.
Now, what do you think that's about? Have you ever stopped to think, why am I so turned off by something that 100% of the people have, including you?
They're hot. They're clammy. Like, this is disgusting. If you don't, and especially if you don't take care of your feet.
But what? But like, what if people do though? That's my question. Because I feel like if you take,
no.
Okay,
I don't think
my
so.
My nephew is five, and he put his feet on me, and I literally was like, "Oh no, you're disgusting."
There's nothing better than little kids' feet.
Kids' feet.
No.
Okay, let's, Valerie. You got problems.
Once again,
you got problems.
I only have an issue with feet in public. At home, yeah, that's your own thing. I still don't like looking at feet.
If you want to be a pervert in your own home and have your feet be naked, that's up to you.
No, I'm saying it's like even if I went to Kevin's house and he was barefoot, hey, it's your house, whatever.
Oh, he'd accept
that's
that.
Yeah. Nice that you would allow that. You
would I'll say I wouldn't find it disgusting.
That's very cool. But thank you, Valerie. We
public,
appreciate the call.
Put on some shoes.
Let's go to Jack Hollywood Line 2, please. He's got a question for the king as well.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Hey, quick question. Were you, like, molested by your mother with her feet?
What?
Wow.
What?
Is that a category?
Damn.
Did you have, like, some dominant girlfriend that made you, like, lick her feet before you got busy?
That went south so fast! Do you have foot trauma, Dave?
Is it I do not have
in
foot
your
trauma.
Past, have you been a,
no.
Your brother didn't, like, torture you or
no,
anything?
No,
it's like
no,
the Dr. Drew question.
Yeah.
I love
yeah,
mine.
Who touched you?
No. Yeah. What foot touched you, Dave? No, all Jack, right. Apparently no, no foot
nope,
trauma.
No.
Sorry.
Zero.
Let's
not
talk to, about my mother. Thanks.
Let's talk to Denise on line 8. She's in Torrance. She is a barefooter. Let's find out what it's like. For her.
A barefooter?
No hey, shoes.
Yes, I am.
No shoes.
Hello?
You never
yes,
wear
Denise.
Shoes. Hi. Hi.
Hi. So I grew up in Hawaii. So when we were little, we never wore shoes.
Right?
Like we would go to school barefoot, and it was never an issue. And even now, I live here in California, and like if I go to someone's house, I take my shoes off when I go inside, even if like I don't really know them that well, just because it's what you do. And I walk around barefoot all the time. It doesn't bother me one bit. In fact, when I first moved here, that was, like, the hardest thing. When my mom was telling me I had to put shoes on to go to school, it was like,
your mom's a good person.
Like, yeah, I mean, and so for me, I don't know.
Okay, Denise, I get
so
that.
Free. Doesn't that sound so free?
It does.
You just walk around with your bare feet all the time. It sounds like
I'm taking my shoes off
great.
Right now.
Me too. I'm with you, Denise.
Best childhood.
But, Denise, I understand that it's comfortable for you and it's what you've done your whole life. Do you ever run into Dave's in your world with people who are grossed out by the fact that you're barefoot?
I honestly never have. I've never. Maybe they were thinking it, but nobody's ever said anything to me.
Everyone's being nice to you.
I bet you're probably hot though too.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Are you hot?
So hopefully, yeah.
Are you hot? Are you hot, Denise? Are you an attractive girl?
That's a yes. I think I'm pretty attractive.
Yeah, that's why no one says anything.
Yep, that's why Julia Roberts can get away with it too.
I did have a guy once tell me that if my feet weren't pedicured, that like you wouldn't even want to look at them. So I was like, oh, okay.
But they are, and so you're fine. It's all good. Thank you, Denise.
Send me some pictures of your feet, Denise.
we gotta get Denise to come down to K-Rock and just sit in the office with Dave for a while.
Yeah, no,
just right next to
with
him,
her feet up on the desk.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
It'll help you get over it. It's therapy, Dave.
No, it's gross.
There it is. That's the song we were looking for when we were trying to put our top five Christmas songs of all time list together from 1988. Yep. The Pogues. Am I right, Allie?
It was on my list.
It was on the list, B.
Come on.
It was on the list.
Oh, we discussed it.
Did we put it in?
Yeah.
It.
Oh, it right. was one of the three we agreed on.
Yes.
I wasn't listening. I'm sorry. That is an awesome song. So
we appreciate your misplaced outrage.
Ralph Garman, I'm glad you're here on the KBB show for a Tuesday morning. It's the Star Wars world right now, but you have brought us something special.
It is the Star Wars world. With the big movie opening up this weekend, and it's Christmas time, so what better time to look back on the legend that is 1978's TV special, only aired once on CBS, the Star Wars Holiday Special. It was one of the great moments in Star Wars history. Almost everyone involved with it denies its existence. George Lucas said he'd like to hunt down each and every copy and smash it with a hammer. So there's a lot of love amongst the Star Wars community for this special. But it's the fact that it was never aired again, never rerun, not available on DVD or anything like that has made it sort of the stuff of legend.
Yeah, it's not like Star Wars to leave money on the table.
No, but this one they're ignoring. It really is awesome. It starts with a cold open where we see Chewbacca and Han Solo piloting the Millennium Falcon running from an Empire ship. What is it? Do they have plans for a rebel base? Are they carrying contraband? No. They're trying to get Chewbacca home for the holidays.
I'll get you back there in time, pal. Trust me. Our only hope now is I'll run that Imperial garbage scow now. I'm going to lightspeed. That's the spirit. You'll be celebrating Life Day before you know it.
You'll be celebrating Life Day before you know it.
That's a Wookiee holiday?
Life Day.
So you're saying this is real.
This is real?
This on TV.
And they celebrate Life Day because you can't celebrate Christmas because it's a galaxy far, far away a long time ago. So they had to make up a holiday, so it's Life Day.
All right.
That all the Wookiees love to celebrate Life Day. And then we go right into the big intro, including this long list of guest stars. And as you can imagine, a Star Wars Christmas special is star-studded with nothing but the biggest stars that could appear.
With special guest stars, Beatrice Arthur, Art Carney, Diane Carroll, the Jefferson Starship, Harvey Korman, and an animated Star Wars story. On the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah. Even included a little cartoon in there for you.
That is the most 70s light-up ever.
Even in the 70s, these stars were washed up.
Yep.
No one gave a rat's ass about them then. It is, but it does work in all the original cast members as well, because the Wookiee family is introduced in this special. Chewie's trying to get home to his family. His wife, Mala. His father, Itchy.
His father is?
Itchy.
Itchy.
And his son, Lumpy. And so he's trying to get back to the Wookiee home planet to celebrate Life Day. And they're concerned because he's overdue. Han and Chewie are supposed to be there by then. Mm. So they have to call their old pal Luke and say, can you tell us? Can you help us with what's going on?
What's up? Chewbacca. Yeah, we'll bring him to the screen. I want to say hello to him. You don't know where he is? Oh, he's not there yet. Is that it? All I can tell you is that he and Han left here on schedule. If he's not there now, they're way overdue.
thanks for the comforting words, Luke.
Yeah. It's nice.
Thanks for settling our nerves on Life Day.
Well, he must be dead.
They're probably dead. I'm guessing the Empire probably killed him by now.
Should have been there
Bye.
By now.
It's Mark Hamill's appearance on the show. And the problem with making the Chewbacca family the stars of this special is you get a lot of that kind of dialogue. What? You haven't heard from Chewbacca yet? Everyone has to translate everything they say because they don't speak freaking English. Harvey Korman, as promised, shows up on the show playing a four-armed alien host of a cooking TV show. And Mala, while she's trying to make Life Day dinner, turns on the television to watch a cooking show to get a recipe for Life Day dinner.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
So Harvey Korman is a hilarious four-armed alien who's making dishes with all four arms.
Hello. Today we are going to be preparing a very succulent dish called Bantha Surprise. It's only a very hearty, nourishing dish, but it's very economical too. So all those hungry mouths in your household will be going, yummy yum on that tummy tum, if you'll just follow along with me as I prepare this popular favorite.
They'll be going yummy yum on their tummy tum.
George Lucas signed off on this.
Yes, he sure did.
He allowed this to air.
Then Art Carney, who plays a lovable trader on the Wookiee planet, he has a trading post there. He brings a present to Itchy,
okay,
who is Chewbacca's elderly father, as we've mentioned, and he gives him a virtual reality helmet that pretty much just shows porn. And
what?
So Itchy sits down and puts the helmet on and enjoys himself some virtual porn right in the middle of the holiday special. And the lovely Diane Carroll provides the sex.
I'm getting your message. Are you getting mine? Oh, we are excited, aren't we? Well, just relax. Just relax. Yes.
No.
We can have a good time. Can't we?
What?
It sounds like Bean.
What is
happening here?
That's virtual Star Wars porn for Itchy.
Wasn't this a
this
kid
is real?
Special?
Yes.
What's happening?
And then she sings some sexy alien song to Itchy while he itches himself,
he
I guess.
Scratches that itch.
Then we cut back to Tatooine because the Empire is looking for Chewbacca and Han Solo, and we go to Mos Eisley. You remember Mos Eisley?
Sure.
The most villainous pit of
hive of scumability, right? Yeah.
Right. And they go into the cantina. Remember the cantina?
Sure.
And we go in there, and all our favorites from the cantina are there, but we find out now who the bartender is, who we didn't really meet in the previous Star Wars movie. Bea Arthur. Bea Arthur is the bartender at the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Well, of course she is.
And she breaks into a song, a drinking song, that is, of course, to the theme of the Mos Eisley theme from Star Wars.
Hey, there she is.
Just one more round, friend. Then homeward bound, friend. Don't forget me in your dreams.
Yeah. That happened.
Everything about this has the mark of quality on it.
No one in this entire cast said, hey, everyone, let's rethink this.
Han Solo and Chewbacca do finally arrive to be reunited with his family.
That's good news.
After they throw a stormtrooper off of the treehouse and he plummets to his death, which I think is a charming part of the story. But Han and Chewie's family are all reunited.
It's okay, everybody. He's gone. How are you? Mala. It's wonderful. Well, huh? Son's been doing you proud. Saved my tail more than a couple of times. Mala, I'd love to, but I can't. I gotta get back to the Falcon before somebody stumbles across me. You look at Lumpy. He's sure grown, huh? Huh? I think his voice is changing. Come on, I'm just teasing.
Han's just kidding.
Han's just kidding
about Wookiee puberty. R2-D2 and C-3PO show up at the final moments. It's like a drug-induced fever dream, this whole thing, because they hold up these glowing globes and somehow magically transports them to a special cave.
Nothing makes any sense.
Where all their friends are waiting for them, including R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Yes, R2.
It is indeed true that at times like this, Otto and I wish that we were more than just mechanical beings. And we're really alive, so that we could share your feelings with you.
Chewbacca! Chewbacca, we were so relieved to hear you were all right.
All of you are an important part of my life, pal. I'm glad I could be here.
Wow!
The whole gang's back together again.
Wow!
And then Princess Leia takes center stage and explains to us what Life Day is all about.
This holiday is yours, but we all share with you the hope that this day brings us closer to freedom and to harmony and to peace. No matter how different we appear, we're all the same in our struggle against the powers of evil and darkness. I hope that this day will always be a day of joy in which we can reconfirm our dedication and our courage, and more than anything else, our love for one another. This is the promise of the Tree of Life.
The Tree of Life!
USA! 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 USA!
Come on with the come on, Ralph.
And what would be a more appropriate way to end the special than with a Christmas carol that is written to the tune of the Star Wars theme by John Williams?
Do I have to hit it?
You have to. Fisher's big note in the Christmas Carol.
Is this on YouTube, Ralph?
It is available on YouTube. You can watch it, yeah. And it's a two-hour special.
Oh, man.
So there's lots to enjoy, and there's just long dead spots where no dialogue is had. You just see a Wookiee walking around, and then they watch like a Wookiee TV show. And then it's Harvey Korman and another character telling the kid how to build a radio set. And it is the craziest freaking dream you've ever had in your life.
I am in.